Windows down, music up. Get ready to hit the road in a new Chevy SUV or truck. Chevy is a name you know and trust. It's Chevy as American as apple pie and baseball. Check out the full line of Chevy vehicles at your local Chevy dealer. Chevy, drive Chicago.
Okay, can we ask for your assistance during tonight's show? If you wouldn't mind scooting up a little closer to your radio and fanning your radio. We were all wondering, why is it feeling a little
sticky,
more warmer and sticky and humid in here?
Mm-hmm.
Timing being everything, they're testing the building generator. So, Bob, what did you say? We're on some auxiliary...
Yeah, we're on our generator.
Thank goodness we've got our generator. Yeah, back in the days at the Tribune Tower, they did their thing, they did their thing. And it was like, tough, you don't have any windows to open? Breathe slowly.
Yes.
So when you pass out, you can... One last gasp.
By the way, speaking of weather condition-y things...
Yes.
Boy, if you are one of the thousands of people that was impacted by this week's tornadoes, oh boy, our sympathies are with you, and thank you for choosing us to hang out with and get a little bit of something lighter tonight. We will try to provide that, but oh, good
well,
Lord.
Well, you know it was going to be...
Maryville, Indiana.
Yeah, it was going to be a big deal when they pull out the goat. When
they call in Skilling.
Yeah, you're like, when I turned on the television, I went, Tom is on.
They got the big guns.
Yes.
And not just because it's a WGN, but good for them. It was the best coverage.
Yeah.
Just terrific.
And we were able to plug into it. And it was a long night, too, because we have friends that live in Northwest Indiana. And it got quiet on the north side of Chicago.
Yeah.
And they were still hearing sirens in Northwest Indiana because things were still very, very dicey. And, Bob, you were telling us that your daughter's in Portage.
Yes.
Without power still?
Yeah. Well, it went out with the first round of storms at 8:30, and then it came back, and then it went out the same day, and it has been out since then. And
since Thursday?
Yeah, and they're saying they don't think that the neighborhood app is talking possibly Tuesday.
Ooh. Okay, we cannot complain about the temperature.
We're good.
This is Saturday. Tuesday's a long time from now. And so you have the pets.
I got dogs.
You've got her dogs.
Yeah.
She's going to stay home and sweat, but the dogs are okay.
Well, she, you know, as of, Monday, she can just go to hang out here at work. So until then, sorry.
Yeah. Wow.
Currently 27,963 customers affected by the power outages,
Wow.
Yikes.
That's the ComEd customers. There'd be more in Indiana.
Yeah.
Were you impacted at all, Ron?
No, I wasn't. I was one of the lucky ones.
Yeah. We had a lot of debris. I mean, it took me a couple of hours to clean up the I don't know, it was like sticks. I had piles of sticks, and by the time I got it all together, it looked like a giant nest in our backyard.
And if that's the worst that we have to deal with, we're lucky.
Absolutely. I'm not complaining at all, because it was kind of therapeutic, because we knew it was coming. We knew it was going to be a big one. And so I ran out and foolishly decided I would hide all my plants, which took a lot of time.
Bring in the patio furniture, right?
Yes.
How
about Wednesday night when the patio furniture was being blown off the rooftops downtown?
Yeah, that's something you don't see every day.
No.
You certainly don't want to see it ever. But
You don't want to be driving along when a Chase Lounge comes at you either.
No, I think it's the end of times or something.
Yeah. Have you ever been driving when like a piece of furniture just kind of plops in front of you?
Let me think. No. Nope.
Yeah, we were... A mattress came off the back
of
the
truck.
That's
true. It did.
Oh, wow.
In fact, we've had two incidents like that. One was a mattress. Another one was we were coming back from Florida. where on the Dan Ryan into the Kennedy downtown, mm-hmm. a truck loses a tire.
Oh, no.
The tire bounces over and bounces off the median and is headed for our windshield, and I was just able to swerve and avoid it.
Okay, I'm sweating just remembering that because that was terrifying because we'd been driving all day,
yeah.
and it was in the southbound lanes that he lost the tire, and it comes bouncing over. Well, speaking of tires and such, I don't know if you guys have an answer to this question, but there was a news story about Bartlett, which also got hit really, really hard on Wednesday and Thursday, Thursday in particular. They reported that at the gas station, there was a gas station in Bartlett where the gas pumps exploded.
And our question is, why would the gas pumps have exploded? What happened?
And do we need to know if this happens in the future? I mean, is it like barometric pressure? If anyone knows, please enlighten us, because the story was presented, but no one said.
Or was it the way that the tornado hit the gas pumps or something? Or
we're just guessing, because that was just.
I have no clue.
I don't have an answer. I don't know that.
Yeah, and they just showed the aftermath of the exploded gas pumps, which is a really weird sight. And can you imagine if you're inside the station and you see the pumps explode?
I'd rather not imagine any of that.
I agree with you. Well, we've got a lot of stuff coming up tonight.
A little after 9:30, we're going to tell you how to fake some recipes.
How to copycat. How to hack some of your favorite recipes. You ever go to a restaurant and you have something and you go, ooh, I love this. I need to make this at home. And you go home, you try to make it, and there's something missing. Well, the guy who's been doing this for literally decades, he's been copycatting recipes. He's going to join us and talk about his new book.
Then a little later tonight, a return visit from Terry White. We first met Terry when he was with the Yellowhammers years ago.
Yep.
He's going to be a part of the Fitzgerald's American Music Festival, and he's going to be nice enough to hang out with us, along with his partner in crime, Rob Pierce, and they're going to perform, and we're going to have some fun with them. Tom Appel will join us, and boy, have we got some car stuff to talk about tonight.
Yeah, wow.
So, a lot of things going tonight. Tonight is our last night in Chicago for a couple weeks. Now, I'm going to say this carefully because some people half here.
Yes.
It's not, we're not leaving WGN. It's not our last night on the air. It's our last night in Chicago for a couple of weeks.
Right. And Jim from Richmond is actually listening to us tonight from Panama City, Florida. And I said, well, we'll wave to you next week when we're there, because we're going to leave on Sunday morning. We're going to get out of town. And this is one of those wonderful, rare experiences. We get to fly direct from Chicago to Panama City Beach.
Midway to Panama City Beach.
Yeah.
And by the way, for all of the planes flying into ECP, it is Panama City Beach.
Yes. The town is like over a mile-long bridge, and their taxes are a lot different than they are on the beach. Yeah. But anyway, we will be on the radio. We got a lot of things planned for next Saturday from the Panhandle.
But we'll tell you all about that after we take a break. One of my favorite things about the radio is the ham band. We were listening, was it just within the past week?
Yes.
And we came across, this is for the first time we've heard this kind of a connection, because we regularly tune into some of the ham operators. They have weekly meetings on Thursdays and Tuesdays or something. Anyhow, this one guy was talking, and he was somewhere in the Chicago area. We're not sure where. He was talking with a guy from Japan. The guy was in Japan, and they were just commiserating about the difference, you know, what's the temperature where you are and how is it here. It was a fascinating conversation to hear.
Yeah, who needs to talk over dinner when you could just listen to the ham band?
Yeah.
Right? We had a little ham and mac and cheese and listened to the ham band.
Speaking of ham, yes, it's us, Steve King, Johnny Puppin. And we should say, oh boy, are we overproduced tonight.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the glass, our producer designate, Jonathan Lyle, is with us. We also have our producer du jour, Sammy Martino. And in the house, because he's going to be doing some video, is our producer emeritus, Julian. So if anything goes wrong, we're blaming it on you guys tonight.
If anything goes wrong, I'm just standing back. I'm just going to lay back and go, it's all yours, guys.
Well, what could go wrong with three producers?
I hear it. You know? let's not.
Well, I think we're all about ready to rock steady.
There you go. Okay, good.
By the way, we wanted to ask you, there is a movie that opened up this week that I am so curious
They're
about.
They're calling it the summer movie, Disclosure Day. Yeah. Spielberg movie. Mm-hmm. You saw it, and you think what?
What do you think?
I think that you should see it.
Mm-hmm.
I do recommend it. It looks great. You know, it's that Spielberg lighting. There's a lot of what I was surprised to find, a lot of action chase scenes throughout the movie. But for the first hour and 45 minutes, you're going to be scratching your heads.
Really?
So bring your patience. It's a 2.5-hour movie. Bring your patience. And some people will find the wait worthwhile. Some people will not. And some people will shrug their shoulders. But it's a movie that you have to see. It's Spielberg's fifth Alien movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to put it in that category. It's no Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's no E.T.
It's no E.T. So let's see. That's the first two. The War of the Worlds. Mm-hmm. It's no War of the Worlds. What's different about it is the pacing and the story and withholding of information, and that will work with some of the audience and some it won't. I'll tell you, with me, it didn't. At about an hour and 15 minutes, I'm going, you know what? I'm not a stupid man. This information is being deliberately withheld, and I just don't care that much anymore.
Okay, here's my key question when there's a movie that does that. The threads that are being dropped in the early part of the movie, do they ultimately all tie together, or are there still some unexplained things? Because if there's a payoff, I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah, they are explained, but I don't know that the payoff is worth the wait, really, to tell you the truth. For some, it may be, and I've heard some people say some good things about it. But there is a lot of patience required for the movie, so don't get up and walk away at any certain time.
The
performances are fantastic, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
I mean, they just got the top line actors in there.
Oh, Emily Blunt is fabulous.
She's wonderful.
And Coleman Domingo.
Oh yeah,
he is fantastic too.
It sounds like your opinion is similar to Dean Richards on his YouTube channel. He said, not as great as I thought it would be.
Brownie points? Are you giving it 2 brownie points?
I would still give it 3 brownie points.
Okay.
I mean, it's still a Spielberg movie.
Did you see it in IMAX?
I did not see it in IMAX.
Because I'm told that you really need to see it in IMAX. That's kind of the way it was shot. By the way, the cinematographer is a Columbia College graduate.
Is that right?
Yes,
I wasn't aware of that.
Janusz Kaminski, who has been working with Spielberg for years and years. Mm. And we're proud to claim him at Columbia College.
Yeah, and it does look nice. I mean, Spielberg has, you know, a great budget. He's a great filmmaker. He always has been. So, I mean, it looks great. You know, it's just the story, and for me, I thought a lot of those chase scenes were unnecessary. A lot of them didn't really add anything, as well done as they are. And sometimes, I don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying that the heroes get away quite a bit, and it seems like pretty easy. It's like, well, okay. You know, it's like, okay. But that's, you know, in keeping with the story. I mean, they have to get away because there's no movie. So,
okay, how do you think it will play with the younger quick cut generation that waiting in the first part of the movie for the various threads to unravel? Will that work, or do you think that demographically he's going to eliminate a lot of younger demographics?
I don't really think in those terms, but now if I were going to consider it, I would say, yeah, it's not a young person's movie. It's kind of a mix between a summer blockbuster mm-hmm. and an art house movie with too much of the art house in there, and the dialogue is not like it's not impressive. Even though like Colin Firth is a really bad guy, and Josh O'Connell, he's a new actor, he's mm-hmm. a very good guy, a very innocent and wanting to do the right thing. So I mean, so there all those elements are there. It's just I mean you have to have a lot of patience to get through the first hour and 40 minutes before I was like, oh, now this is interesting. And that was like, I almost said that out loud in the theater because it was, there's a line that Josh O'Connor says, I don't know what's happening here. And I almost said out loud, I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. But I didn't do that because you're not supposed to do that at movie theaters. Yeah. So.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this now.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I hope you have a better reaction than I did. I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't dislike it. I just, maybe my expectation was just too high.
Okay.
So that's the line that goes on the box. I didn't hate it.
That's right.
I didn't totally hate it.
3 brownie points out of 100.
No, 3 out of 5. I mean, it's still a solid movie. I was just hoping for so much more.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to ask you to put the popcorn bag down and put on your news hat.
I can do that.
By the way, you can hear Ron do movie reviews on Lisa's show on Thursday afternoons. But time now for a news update with Ron Brown here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, what could we possibly be playing that for? Because mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about food.
Yeah, at the top of the show, which is really dangerous since we've got 4.5 more hours to chew on our ankles. There is a new book we want you to know about. It is written by Todd Wilbur. It's Hack That Dish. Yep, you heard me right. Hack That Dish, Fantastic Famous Food Forgeries, and Secret Tricks You Can Use to Copy Any Dish. And Todd Wilbur joins us right now. Todd, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's been a few decades since we talked last, huh?
I know. What have you been up to? Give me all the details.
I was floored when I realized that we probably talked to you when your first copycat recipe book came out. Which,
oh, my God. I think you're right. That's crazy. That was like over 30 years ago.
Yeah. You were the only guy doing it then, remember?
I know. Yeah. And now there's others.
Well, so
and we were blown away because you were able to tell people how to do things like sliders and all kinds of
and
things.
And the secret sauce on McDonald's. Yeah, the Big Mac, right? Well, you know what? For people who weren't listening decades ago, what was the first recipe that you decided you had to find out what's the secret to this particular thing? What was it?
Yeah, the recipe that started it all was the Mrs. Fields chocolate chip cookie. Because now I didn't expect that I would be doing this for a living, hacking foods. I just didn't. But I got a chain letter in the mail. You guys may know about this. There was a chain letter floating around back in the day. It was like for Mrs. Fields cookie, one of them. There was a Neiman Marcus.
Yep.
It was the same recipe, and it had the same bogus story that a woman goes into a Mrs. Fields cookie store and asks to buy the recipe. And they say, sure, we'll sell it to you. It'll be $2.50. You can put it on your credit card. And she's like, wow, cool. $2.50. Here you go. And then gets her credit card statement back and sees that it's $250. So she's upset about this. Is all bogus, by the way.
Sure.
She's upset about this and prints the recipe up and puts that story on there. And this thing spread across the country. It was everywhere. This is late 80s.
Yeah,
it was in newspapers. It was, there was no internet, so it just went around as a chain letter, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I got it and made it, and it was terrible. It did not make anything like a Mrs. Fields cookie. It had like 2 cups of oat flour, oatmeal that you grind up in there, and that's not even in a Mrs. Fields cookie. There's all this weird stuff.
Right.
So, I was disappointed. I tucked it away, and then I went to a Mrs. Fields cookie store, and I saw there was a sign posted there, a little billboard thing, a little sign, and it was from Mrs. Fields, Debbie Fields herself, and it said, there's a recipe floating around that is not our recipe. We are disclaiming this recipe. It has nothing to do with us. We would never sell our recipe. This is all bogus.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that, and I realized, secret recipes must be a big deal. What if I could take this recipe and make it better, actually make it taste like a Mrs. Fields cookie?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's just chocolate chip cookies. I could make cookies. I wasn't a, trained chef or anything,
right.
But I could make cookies. So I started making cookies in my spare time. I was a TV news reporter at the time. So when I got home from work, I would make cookies until I finally had a clone, a really good copy of that cookie. And I thought, wow, this is cool. What if I make a whole book of this? No one's ever done that before. So I started hacking away at stuff. I got a McDonald's Big Mac and a Twinkie and a Snickers bar and KFC chicken. And I just went crazy. And that was the first book. And that's when I talked to you guys, I think.
Yeah.
It was.
Because I remember I was asking you about Wendy's chili in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me make Wendy's chili? And it's just really funny when I think about how that Mrs. Fields took off pre-internet. So we've always been kind of wacky, chain letters were a thing back then for the kids who are listening. Really, things came in the mail that were letters.
Yeah, the actual mail, the real mail.
That were bogus, yes.
I got to tell you, with your new book, and it's called Hack That Dish, it has tons of recipes, but I got to tell you what I was immediately drawn to, and you have all kinds of recipes from all kinds of fast food places and a lot of restaurants. The one that I just zeroed in on, Brock's Candy Corn?
Yes.
Huh? How did you learn that?
It's I wasn't even sure if I could do this until I started working on it, and I realized it's not that difficult to make Brock's candy corn at home when you realize what it is that you're tasting when you eat that.
Mm-hmm.
There's this like butter flavor there, so you're getting, it's almost like popcorn that you're tasting. It's sweet. There's actually honey in there and a little bit of like sesame oil, which is strange. But all these, I thought that what the heck? Why is that in there? But when you bring it all together, it gives you that exact flavor of Brock's candy corn. And I'll show you how to like, it's almost like you're playing with Play-Doh in a way.
Yeah.
You make this candy. You make three different colors of this candy, and then you roll them up into these ropes, and you kind of press them together and turn them into a circle, and then start, when you chop these up, they make little triangles that look just like candy corn and taste just like candy corn.
And I read that and I said, okay, Steve, you are the candy corn man. I'm making you some candy corn.
Yep.
I mean, this is crazy, but I'm going to do it. And how many recipes? You've got over 100 in this book, right?
Yes. There's 101 recipes in this book, and you guys got to tell me if I'm crazy for doing this, because I'm doing something I've never done before. Out of 13 books,
mm-hmm.
I am now revealing how I do it. So I am giving away all of my secrets. I can't hack everything. There's just no way. There's too many great, famous, popular foods out there. So I thought I would just reveal sort of how I do it. And if you've got something you like, maybe a local restaurant or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got some tips and tricks and techniques that you can use to figure out that recipe for yourself so you can make it at home.
I love that. We're talking with Todd Wilbur, and his book is wonderful, Hack That Dish. And you may know about copycat recipes. As Todd said, he's been doing this for a while. We'll talk more about some of the recipes he's got in this new book, Hack That Dish, coming up here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. We are talking with the author of a terrific book, Hack That Dish, Todd Wilbur. You should check out his website. The website is topsecretrecipes.com.
Yep. Todd is America's number one food hacker, and he's been called, and I love this, one-man culinary cover band. You got to love that, Todd. That's you, right?
it kind of is. I'm recreating all the culinary hits
So how did
you eat at home?
How did you decide? Because there's a really interesting mix of recipes. Not that the other books were not an interesting potpourri, but you've got like the candy corn, you got the Charms Pop, you have Chick-fil-A, you have something from Mariano's, which not Mariano's, but Maggiano's.
Maggiano's.
Mm-hmm. I was happy to see that because that's their great marinara sauce. So how did you decide which recipes to put in this book?
It all comes down to what's the most popular food at the time. You know, mm-hmm. as we go through the years, tastes change, trends change. Certain, you know, dishes become really hot, and you know, as they are created. Like back in the day was, you know, buffalo wings,
mm-hmm.
and these days it's like Brussels sprouts. You know, back when I first started writing these books, nobody knew how to make Brussels sprouts taste good. And now they're like an appetizer on every menu. So, you know, things change, and I have to go with that. So when I choose my recipes, I'm looking to find the most popular items of the time. Like, you know, when I started, we just talked about Mrs. Fields cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were huge back then, but they're not today. Now it's crumble.
Right.
Now, you know, so I put the crumble, chocolate chunk cookie in this book because that's what people love today.
So do you actually go into a restaurant and you have something, you say, this is the one I want to include I need to talk to the manager or I need to talk to your top chef. Have you done that? Is that how you go about getting the secret ingredient?
I've never done that. I've never actually requested the chef
really?
To talk to me. But you just mentioned Maggiano's,
mm-hmm.
and I did a couple recipes for Maggiano's, and then I went in there to hack some stuff that's included in this book, and they recognized me. One of the chefs there said, "Oh my God, you're Todd Wilbur. You hacked our one of our dishes here. It was like a tenderloins dish that they have with this great like creamy balsamic sauce." And they remembered that I did that, and they said, "Dang, you got really close to recreating that recipe." And I swear, I have not talked to anybody there. I just did it all on my own. And then he went back, and the head chef came out and just wanted to say, "Hey, compliment me, talk to me about it," and then gave me some great tips, actually, for cloning their meatballs, which are in this book.
Yeah.
So they don't mind that you're doing. You've never heard from any fast food or anybody saying, you know, you're getting a little too close. We're not happy with this.
No, not at all. Because I think they understand that they're in the convenience food business when people don't feel like cooking. They just want to go out. And making this stuff at home isn't convenient. You know, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
So they're not really threatened by it. It's they love to have their name out there and people to be talking about them. And, you know, we're recreating Maggiano's. They, you know, they want that recognition. That's mm-hmm. what they're really into. I had a TV show in 2011 on a network, a cable network, that I cloned KFC chicken, Domino's pizza, mm-hmm. the ribs from Chili's, and all of these companies worked with us. We had to get permission to go to their corporate headquarters, to go into their, you know, into their kitchens, their test kitchens. And, you know, they recognize that it's not a threat to their business. It actually helps them.
Does your family look forward to you saying, "I'm working on a new book," because they also get to try all the things that you're experimenting with?
These are my taste testers. I have built-in taste testers here. My wife and my daughter love to taste my stuff, and they're very honest, brutally honest.
Yeah.
If it's not working out, they will tell me, and I appreciate it. I'm not offended. I'll take it. And so these are my first taste testers, and so it really helps to have. And I mentioned this in the book, when you're cloning stuff at home,
mm-hmm.
you're hacking your own dishes, get some other opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Find people in your family to say, you know, it maybe needs a little bit more of this, a little less of that. And they will help you because people do tend to taste things a little differently, and they can give you some insight. Mm.
Is there a particular recipe or a kind of recipe that is the hardest for you to hack?
Yeah, I think, you know, anything with a dough, like a pizza,
mm-hmm.
tends to be more difficult because, you know, while it's just six ingredients, there's so many variations and so many things. So many techniques that change the quality of your dough, and you don't know if, you know, where you're at like for a pizza dough, I've got a pizza in here. I think it's the Gino's East one.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to let it proof for 2 days in your fridge, and then you got to cook it, and then, you know, taste it. And you don't know for several days how close you are, and then you got to repeat that process over and over and over, and you're in like several weeks in before you get something even close. So anything with a dough like that takes a really long time.
You know what? I'm going to ask people who work at Gino's tonight. They need to text me and say, do you keep dough in the cooler for days over at Gino's?
Oh,
we need to know that.
You know? That's right. You're out there. You're out there
right.
At Gino's and Portillo's, which I've got there.
Yes.
Their chocolate cake, that's in here as well, which they're famous for.
I was so happy to see that because people who don't even eat hot dogs, I know vegetarians that will go to Portillo's just to get the chocolate cake.
Okay,
because there's a secret recipe. You know, there's a secret to that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So now, there's a place called Gold Belly online where you can order food from around the country, like Portillo's stuff. You can get their... their Italian beef sandwiches as a kit and send it to your house. Or you can get their chocolate cake and have it sent to your house. Now, when somebody sells their products that way, retail, they have to label the ingredients. They have to put the ingredients on there. It's a law, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great trick, and I mentioned this in the book. If you want to know what's in something, find a place like Gold Belly where you can order that food, and they must put the ingredients on there, and that gives you a lot of help. So I looked at the ingredients for that. I ordered that cake, and I got it sent to my house, and it wasn't cheap. But, I got it, and I got the information, and I compared it to a Betty Crocker chocolate cake mix, the ingredients, and it was an exact match.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to hold your thought. Can you stay with us after the news for a few minutes? This will be like a classic cliffhanger, Todd, because we'll come back and we'll tell people what is the secret with that Portillo's chocolate cake.
I got it. I'll give you the secret.
All right, thank you. Todd Wilbur is our guest. He is the author of this great new book, Hack That Dish. So we will get back and give you a little insight here on the radio.
But right now, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Got love in my tummy.
Yeah. It's not going to make it stop growling, I can tell you that. But we're talking food because there is a brand new book out. It's called Hack That Dish, Fantastic Famous Food Forgeries and Secret Tricks You Can Use to Copy Any Dish.
And the author is Todd Wilbur. His website is topsecretrecipes.com. And let us return now to the moments before the newscast.
Yes, yes.
Where there was a cliffhanger.
Dun, 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 dun. Classic radio, Todd. So we get them all excited about Portillo's chocolate cake. You now know. How much do you have to pay for that chocolate cake, by the way, that you had sent to your house in Vegas?
Oh, my God. I think it was over $50 for like a cake. It was crazy.
Yeah.
'Cause you got to pay. You get it in a big old box with dry ice. It's like a cooler box. And I think most of what you're paying is for the shipping.
Yeah, yeah.
You
so
know,
you got the cake, and then you said, okay, the ingredients are there. And did you say, aha!
My mission was to clone this Portillo's legendary chocolate cake. And rather than fly all the way to Chicago, I found a way to buy it online, which is great. Super convenient. So I had the thing shipped to me. And by law, when you sell something that way, a food, you have to list the ingredients, which was great. So I could compare those ingredients. I got a box of Betty Crocker chocolate cake mix, and they matched up perfectly. Like, all the ingredients were exactly the same. So my conclusion is that is what they use. I'm sorry to tell you this, all you fans of Portillo's chocolate cake. It's not that mysterious. It's just a box of Betty Crocker chocolate cake mix. And here's what they do differently, though. It's not exactly, they don't cook it the same way as instructed on the box. I'm going to give you the recipe right now. If you want to make Portillo's chocolate cake, I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it right now.
Okay.
You get that Betty Crocker, right, chocolate cake mix. And don't follow the instructions on the box. Do this. Add a cup of mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a big secret there. A cup of mayonnaise. Mayonnaise has everything you need for cake. It has everything you need in there.
It's got your eggs.
You got the oil, you got it all.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
A cup of water, and then three eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Make it with those ingredients, and it will taste exactly like Portillo's famous chocolate cake. You will be blown away. Now, I put that in the book, but I also then went to another level. I show you not only how to make it that way with the cake mix, but what if you don't want to use a cake mix?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the recipe to make the whole thing from scratch. Mm-hmm. It tastes the same, but you don't have, you know, the stuff that those box cake mix have in them, like the you know, the preservatives and all
right.
that stuff. You don't need it. So you can do it from scratch also. But that's the mystery. Mystery solved right there.
Well, I have to tell you, based on your recipe, because we're gluten-free, I use the King Arthur chocolate cake mix, which has similar, except the flour is different. Mm-hmm. It's a rice flour in it. And
oh, great.
I used Miracle Whip because we are Miracle Whip and not mayonnaise people. And it came out exactly the way I recall Portillo's chased it. And I think it was the secret was the Miracle Whip / mayonnaise.
It is.
Yeah.
That is their secret. That is their secret. That's how they changed the recipe, by putting mayonnaise in there. That's what makes it special. And everybody can do this. It's super
yes,
easy.
Yes, it makes it
and
so it, moist.
Is that also, I was just going to say, isn't that also what keeps it kind of
yeah.
moist and will keep it moist for a few days?
Yep.
Sure. I mean, you know, you've got all the ingredients you need in that mayonnaise. It's a great ingredient for making cake.
Mm-hmm.
People think, wow, that's weird. Why am I putting, like,
yeah.
you know, my hamburger spread in my cake? But you know, if you break it down, it works perfectly in cake, and that's why they do it.
I'm going to tell our audience that, again, we're talking about literally dozens and dozens of recipes. You're going to flip through this and go, oh, I love the Chick-fil-A spicy deluxe chicken. Well, you got the recipe for that sandwich. Maybe you go to Costco and you like the almond poppy muffins. Todd has that recipe as well.
Are you ever in a fast food place and you say, I got to do this recipe?
Oh, God, that happens to me all the time. I can't turn it off. I don't know. Maybe that's a problem. It's sometimes hard for me to sit down and eat food without thinking to myself,
sure.
like, how would I do this at home? What is this? What is this flavor? How they make it look like this? What, you know, I don't know. I can't punch out.
Again, you're not a chef. So this is, you're like the rest of us who say, you know what? I like to cook. This is fun. I'm approaching this like it's a science project. And if it flops, it flops. I bake all the time and I will share recipes and I'll share food with people and I'll say, look, if you don't like it, you won't hurt my feelings. I mean, everything is not, you know, a 5-star dish.
And everybody's taste buds are not the same.
Yeah.
That is true. That is really true.
So you included the El Paso taco seasoning? I mean, how did that end up in your book?
Oh, you know, that goes back to when I was a kid, you know, growing up, we'd have taco night.
Right.
You know, and same with like the Sloppy Joe, the Manwich Sloppy Joe mix, that's in there too.
I love that.
You know, these are these iconic recipes that some of us grew up with.
Yeah.
And, you know, it, again, great. You get the ingredients listed on those packages. So that's a big help. But I'll show you how you can make a very inexpensive spice blend that you add to ground beef, a pound of ground beef, with some water. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes exactly like that stuff in those little envelopes. And the Manwich, same thing. That, you know, that's the sauce in that can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can. This is really, really inexpensive to make this stuff at home. And as prices go up and, you know, the grocery store trips become more expensive, this making this stuff at home is a great way to save money. I figured out the prices across the board. Restaurant chains, you know, casual restaurants chains, fast food chains, packaged products. And pretty much on average, when you make the stuff at home, it's about half the cost of buying it out, you know, going out or at the store.
You know what we've done? We've mentioned the Portillo's chocolate cake, and now people are saying, but what about the frosting? You guys haven't talked about the frosting. So what about the frosting on that chocolate cake?
Man, you're going to be disappointed. the frosting is also... It's the canned frosting that you see in the stores.
Yeah. I looked at that and I said,
I was going to guess that.
That can't be.
Yep.
Yes.
Well,
that's all they're using. That's what it is. And I compared the ingredients there and it's an exact match.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I had visions of little elves in the back room with Hershey's cocoa, the way I make it with cocoa and powdered sugar and butter, and they're stirring it up, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it's too loose, and, you know, it's in a can. Yeah.
Isn't it all about the, like, the marketing and that whole mystere, that whole, you know, these secret recipes when you say, you know, 11 secret herbs and spices, yeah, or the secret recipe for Coca-Cola. It makes it, like, more special and more mysterious, and you want it even more because it's such a big secret. But is it?
It's all about marketing.
Yeah.
It really is. The secrets aren't really that big a secret when you break it down.
Well, now, are you going to be going on a book tour with this book?
And are you going to be coming to Chicago?
Yeah.
I'm on it right now. I want to. I got to go get, you know, two Portillo's, and I need the Geno's. And
you are my ultimate
food city right there, Chicago. My favorite food city to go to.
Oh, yeah, because you've got, we mentioned Maggiano's earlier, because
sure,
you've got Maggiano's here as well. I know you've got it in Vegas. In fact, we love the Maggiano's in Vegas.
We had the best time at the Maggiano's.
The chef at that Maggiano's is a Chicagoan,
yeah,
so he treated us very nicely. Yes. Yes.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about.
If you come to Chicago, can we con you into coming in the studio and hanging out with us?
Oh, my God. I would love it.
I'll make the chocolate cake. If you come in, I'll make a chocolate cake and some candy corn to make Steve happy.
Oh, put some Miracle Whip in there, please.
How about it? Now, let me also mention, somebody said, is there any other candy? I think I mentioned the Charms Pop. I was surprised you included a lollipop in the book, as well as Butterfinger, two great choices if you're going to go with candy. So how did those come about?
That one took me a long time, years. I never thought I could ever duplicate that. It just seems so hard. You know, it's made by machines.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that's manufactured by machines are tricky to make at home. But, you know, and also with Butterfinger, they changed the recipe recently. So what I did was I did a little flashback to how it was originally created,
yeah,
and that was with secret ingredient. You ready? You're not going to believe what the secret ingredient in Butterfinger used to be, but they have now taken out. Any guesses?
I thought it was peanut butter.
Corn flakes.
What?
Corn flakes?
Corn flakes.
I read that.
Crunched
and it
up
did,
corn
yeah
flakes.
Wow, that didn't register when I read that. I was just thinking about getting a Butterfinger when I read it.
That's the secret ingredient to the old recipe for Butterfinger, but they have since changed it, taken the cornflakes out, and people have commented that it's not quite as good as the original recipe.
It's not quite as crunchy.
I put the cornflakes in mine.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, we could go on talking forever. It's just so much fun to reconnect with you after all these years. I was just a baby disc jockey the first time we talked.
This is so great.
Yeah, and if you do find yourself in Chicago, you have to come by, because we'll just make a spread of all these crazy foods that you cover in the book. And for anyone who likes recipe books, you're going to love Todd's book, Hack That Dish. But if you just like food, and if you find yourself going to fast food restaurants, you're going to go, oh, wow, you mean I could do Chick-fil-A at home? Let me give this a try. And that was an eye-opener. I got to tell you, all about brining that chicken was something I had...
Pickle juice is the secret.
You know what? But we have dry pickle jars in our house because I drink all the juice, so...
She really does.
Yeah.
I have to buy the juice.
Three in the morning, I will hear a noise out in the kitchen, and it's Johnny going in and getting a drink of pickle juice.
That's awesome.
It's going to be a long night, though, because all I have is a pack of crackers. It's not going to do well. We may end up calling.
You need some cake.
Yes, or some Geno's pizza. But
thank
you so much for joining us. It's just a pleasure to reconnect with you. And again, if you ever find yourself coming this way, or if you want to talk on the radio again, let's do some more recipes for the folks.
I would love to. It's so good to talk to you guys again and to hear you guys. This is great.
Thank you, Todd.
So much. And
congratulations on the book. It's really, really wonderful. Hack That Dish.
But I got to warn you, when you look at the book, the pictures, boy, are they going to make you hungry.
And
the website is topsecretrecipes.com.
And Todd, it is worth mentioning, you know, kudos to the folks who put your book together. Obviously, they knew your reputation. They knew that they could sell these books, but they made your book look beautiful. It really is.
Oh.
The pictures are great. It's just, it's a friendly book.
First hardcover. This is my first hardcover book. I wanted it to be really, you know, presentable, a keepsake, something you can just keep in your kitchen and you know, refer to often.
Very
and,
cool.
And get hungry every time you walk
right.
by it.
Yes. Now, you know what? If you could just put out another version and it was scratch and sniff, it would be just crazy.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be crazy. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Todd. A pleasure catching up with you.
We'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is two-thirds of the River Road Trio, and that is one of the new videos that you can find if you go to our blog, and the blog address is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com, spelled Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-I-E, and you will see a whole bunch of videos from the River Road Trio's last appearance with us.
Mm-hmm,
and you can also scroll through, and you can find all kinds of videos that we put up for years.
They were in here just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So we've kind of kicked off our summer concert series, and coming up, we've got some live music again tonight. I do want to mention that next week we're going to have a CD release party.
Yes.
When Jack and Jen are going to be joining us, and I'm excited because we haven't heard their new CD, but they've been teasing us about the theme is Southern Gothic.
Yeah, and those of you who are hanging out with us regularly, you've heard when we hang out in the Panhandle, which we will be doing next week, that we've had Jack and Jen on, and they're incredible talents, and boy, they've got books, they've got T-shirts, they've got...
they've got stories to tell.
In fact, they're going to be unveiling a new website.
Yeah.
And they're going to be unveiling their brand new CD next week.
Right.
And that's... next week, we are not going to be here in Chicago. Next week, we will be coming to you from the studios of WKGC-FM, high atop the Charles Hilton Center for Advanced Technology and Hospitality Management at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida.
319 area code texted and said, what? You're playing the entire Red Peters song tonight? No, because as we told you, if you ever hear the whole song, that means we ain't coming back. So, no, we're not planning on playing the whole song tonight. We will be in Florida.
Not tonight.
But we will be broadcasting live from Florida next Saturday night.
In fact, we're going to be in Florida the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, when it's like 70s here.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be in the triple digits there.
They're saying like 108 real field temperature. So proving timing is everything.
And at least it will be humid.
Yeah.
And the no-see-ums are alive.
No-see-ums are out. And also in St. Andrews Bay, which is very close to where we hang out, there have been shark sightings.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Fun times, kids.
Yeah, we know how to have a good time.
We have things that we need to do. That's why we're going down there during hellacious weather. Because ideal weather, if you ever plan on heading in that direction, go in October. It's heaven.
It's wonderful.
It's absolutely the best time.
Either spring or fall. And spring is nice if you can avoid the spring breakers. But fall is just wonderful.
Well, and spring, the water is still kind of cool.
Yeah.
Fall, you're still talking about water that's in the 80s.
Yeah.
And the daytime temperatures, oh, it's just perfect. So, yeah, we'll be sweating next week. Sweating to the oldies for a couple of weeks.
That sounds like an idea for
I
some,
know,
CD
doesn't
or
it
something.
Now?
Hmm.
Coming up, we've got some music. You can get in touch with us throughout the show, as always, at 312-981-7200. That's our open text line. And oftentimes when we hit a wall, you guys fill in the blanks for us, and we appreciate that. And, of course, when Tom joins us for our car segment later on tonight after midnight, your car questions are welcome, too, at that number, 312-981.
And boy, have we got some interesting recalls to talk about, too.
7200.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Standing outside the liquor store. No, that's that's Terry White, and that is Out of Reach. And Terry is nice enough to hang out with us. And we have Terry, and we have Rod Pierce, and...
It was funny because our last guest, we met him decades ago.
Yeah.
And I guess we met you guys decades ago.
First with the
Yellowhammers,
right?
Yeah.
And how many years ago was that?
When did we do that record?
What was last century?
Right? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. As I like to say, be good to me. I was born in the last century.
Yeah.
No, be gentle, right? Oh, gosh. You have been so busy, though, with this album. We had you in here when the album had first come out. It's getting wonderful reviews.
It's been it's been great in that regard. So it's in, still playing a lot and getting that music out. And we did it back and it was released in, I guess, September.
Yep.
I think we were with you guys even right before the release. Right before the show, right?
Right.
Yeah, and it's been added to some playlists, so it's getting a lot of it's got a lot of people that that's funny. I got a an artist page on Spotify, and they let you know like where the songs. And I think you know the number one place I think is Chicago, but the number two place is like in Nigeria.
Really?
In Spain.
Doesn't that freak you out?
Crazy places.
Because I know we every Saturday night we look at the countries that are reading our blog, and I say, what do people in China want with our blog? You know? Or Nigeria, like you said, you're like, really?
Yeah, I don't know what's there, but Spain and Mexico were
well, that's two countries. Fun.
But yeah, it was like, wow, that's great.
You know? Hey, have you ever toured any of those places, or would you like to?
Under the right circumstances, I'd sure, yeah. I'd love to go play those places. I'd love to go see them anyway.
You know? If they'll feed you and put you up and give you you know, a place to...
If I didn't lose a whole bunch of money doing it, I'd do it for sure.
You know? Well, for people who have not heard our previous conversations, if you've not been around for decades... you are actually a local kid. You were born in Oak Park,
That's right, I recall.
Yeah.
Grew up in Oak Park. You know, went to Ascension Grammar School and then went to high school at St. Ignatius here in the city. And, yeah, and then moved away. Me and Rob were in a band called the Modern Day Saints. And that band traveled all over the country pretty much.
Didn't you settle out on the West Coast for a while?
And then we settled out in Los Angeles.
On the Strip, no less, right?
Yeah, we played all those places.
Yeah.
At like the Whiskey A Go-Go and the Roxy.
But that wasn't just a blip in your career. I mean,
no,
you guys settled there for a couple years, right?
Yeah, we were there for a few years. I got there in 89, and I think I came back to Chicago in 94.
Wow.
Moved back to Oak Park then, you know.
Did the mood in California change for you, or just had a hankering to come back home?
You know what? The band had broken up. And so Rob and Kevin moved back to Chicago first, and then Phil moved to Minneapolis. And I was still out in L.A. So then me and my wife, Colleen, decided, you know what? Let's just go back to Chicago. That's where all our family and all our friends are. So we went back there. And then Rob, and Kevin.
Got back together.
Yeah. So Rob, and Kevin were all in the Modern Day Saints. And then when we came back here, we started the Alhambra, which was basically the Modern Day Saints without Phil, who was the lead singer. And then Rob took up the lead singer. The problem with that was Rob was also the drummer and the lead singer. So he had double duty. So we augmented the band with Phil Levin and Tom Neisel and...
Isn't there a band called the Zimmerman somewhere in your
Zimmerman,
history?
That's another band. Yeah, I do that. That's I do that with a buddy of mine named Pat Brennan, who played with the Walter Williams Band. I don't know if you remember that band from the 70s and 80s.
In Chicago,
And so he and I were both Dylan fans, and we did a few things together with Tributosaurus, actually. You guys are probably familiar with Tributosaurus.
Doing Bob Dylan's
music. So they did a Bob Dylan, and then me and Pat were on that show because they knew we were both Bob Dylan guys. And then he and I decided to do the Zimmerman. So that's been great. We've been doing that a couple shows a year probably for probably 10 years now, I guess. You know.
So you haven't had to leave Chicago, this area? Because as we say, just about every Saturday night, we're so fortunate to have places where you can perform here.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, and now, you know, being a man of these advanced years, being able to sleep in my own bed every
night. It's important.
It's nice, yes. And when we were doing the road stuff and the L.A. stuff, we were really living with, you know, some difficult circumstances. You know, I just read a memoir by a woman by the name of Margot Price. Are you familiar with
Margot
Price?
Yes,
yeah.
Her memoir is just fantastic. And she was writing about her life up to the point where she finally made it, you know, she started getting a record contract and all that stuff happening. And just reading about her life when she was that young and doing all that stuff and the conditions you were living, like, I was getting that PTSD. I'm like,
you're saying
God,
been there, done that?
That?
Yeah.
A lot of floors you're sleeping on. And, like, you know, after a show in one of these towns you'd be playing, and you'd go play a town, you know, anywhere, like, say, you know, play in Jackson, you know, in Alabama, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someplace where you don't really know anybody. And some kids in the bar would love you, and then they'd invite you back to their house, in, which is great because it was a free accommodation.
So you do couch surfing.
Well, these guys want to party with you all night.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, I guess that's where we're paying with our time and energy. And,
After working a couple hours on stage. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then getting up the next day and driving with, you know, feeling the results of the night before. You know.
Sure. Yeah. Well, let me ask Rod, how did the two of you meet? Because you two have been working together for years. So what was the first time? How did you first meet?
It was in a club called...
I'm going to ask you to get a little closer to the microphone.
It was in a club called the Bluebird in Bloomington, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school at IU.
Okay.
And I was in a band down there with my buddy Pete Cimbalo, who's also a Chicago musician, plays under the name Pie-Eyed Pete.
Oh, yeah.
And he and I were in a college band together and already touring. It's amazing I didn't fail out of school. But one day he says, I saw this band last night from Carbondale, and you're going to love them. You got to check them out. And that band was the Modern Day Saints.
Mm-hmm.
So I did go check them out next time they were in town playing at the Bluebird in Bloomington, Indiana. And I did fall in love and ended up playing percussion in the form of a 2x4 slamming against the brick wall.
Okay.
In time, in beat, and in sync with the band playing. So we became friends and fast friends, and I went to visit them every time I could in Carbondale. And then I moved, when that band broke up and I decided to move to L.A., I went out there and was in a band with several different guys, which were great guys, and we were called Jet Screamer. Jet Screamer, the rock star in the cartoon The Jetsons.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And we were doing a good job out there, and but there was one catch. I was homeless at the time.
I hate when that happens.
Well, you know, we had some living conditions back then.
Yeah.
So I became homeless. I did have a car, and I was gifted with being able to sleep in a bar called The Central, which later became the Viper Room on the Sunset Strip, because Linda Liu was my friend, and she said, well, you could sleep on the floor in the bar. I said, I'll take it. My buddy Pete Cimbalo, this guy, Pie-Eyed Pete guy, my longtime buddy, he's living out in Hollywood as well. And he says, hey, the Modern Day Saints are in town.
Oh.
Now, this is 1988 or 89. You know,
years
I didn't even have
past.
A pager. I didn't have any, you know, no, let alone a phone. And I said, oh, they're in town? Where are they playing? He says, they live here. I said, they live here?
Yeah.
Well, then let's go see them. So we went to see them, and I noticed that the three of them were there, Phil and Terry and Kevin. And one of my best buds in their band was Chris Oberyn, their drummer. And I said, where's Chris? And they said, he didn't make it.
They need
they
a
said,
drummer.
We were wondering if you wanted to join us. And I said, can I live with you?
Because I am, after all, homeless.
It was just like that.
Yeah. Terry, you overlooked that stint in Carbondale. So when you're talking about partying, you just should have said Carbondale.
Yeah,
we would have understood then.
Yes. Yeah, that was... it's funny. I spent a lot of time there. So I graduated high school and went down to Southern Illinois in 78.
Yeah.
And when I finally graduated, which was... you know, I was on a 6-year program or something. I forget. Part-time student, really. And then the band started. So We stayed down there because it was cheap to live. We were on the road all the time.
And it was a great music town, too.
It was a very good music town in those days,
There's because I was going to the University of Tennessee across the border, and we would go to Carbondale to hear music, you know, because it was, you know, kind of dry there. Mm-hmm. So, and it was literally dry.
I'm going to hit the pause button on the history here. We have to take a break, but we'll get back with more. So stick around on WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that song. That is Terry White, who's in the studio with us, along with Rob Pierce. And before we get into anything else, the blatant plug light has started flashing. The American Music Festival at Fitzgerald's.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, that is a heck of a good festival. I mean, you know, the summertime, there's festivals all over the country, all over the city. And that has been going on. This has got to be the...
Isn't it the 43rd, I think?
And Bill Fitzgerald started it back then. And, you know, about 5 years ago, right in COVID, he sold the bar to Will Duncan. And so Will's kept that tradition going. And Will's done some things with the property where he's really used every space.
Freshened it up.
And yeah, it's just great. So he's built a pavilion, so they have outdoor concerts a lot now. But so it's just it's a great 4-day festival. Again, I do that residency the fourth Tuesday of every month. Mm-hmm. And so all four of the people that host that Songwriter Circle, we're going to actually do it together during the fest. So we're doing it on Sunday, July 5th, me and Ron Lazzaretti and Jenny Benjamin and Naomi Ashley. And that'll be like probably in the afternoon.
Music is also happening during the day, during that weekend. Yeah, so you can just go and hang out for the whole weekend.
Yeah. And if you've never been to Fitzgerald's, it is the best roadhouse on the planet.
Isn't that what Marsha Ball said? It is hands down the best roadhouse. And she said, I've been to many, many roadhouses, but it's the best.
It's a great that the club has got a certain vibe and sound with all that wood and the old stage and everything, and now you've got this pavilion outdoors, so they're throwing bigger concerts. Like we talked about, Margo Price, she's playing there next month, not part of the fest, a different concert,
right?
And they've had you know, the Jayhawks played there and the Wallflowers played out there. So Lucinda Williams and Steve Earle. I mean, they're having pretty big acts now play out there, and so this fest is. There are a lot of great names on it. I mean, the Spin Doctors are playing this year, and that's one of the headliners. TJ Chenier, and who else is
there? The neat thing is it's different kinds of music, too.
Yeah.
You get your alternative music. You get your hardcore, like, folky music.
Yeah.
And then rock. So rock, there's a little bit of some, blues, something for everyone.
Yeah.
So I was curious about your guitar. You have a beautiful Gibson guitar.
Yeah.
Is there a story behind that guitar?
Well, not really. It just that I wanted to, I've been playing a Martin, kind of a smaller body double aught, the Eric Clapton model. You're probably familiar with that, which is a nice guitar. It's very, but I wanted to get something with a little bit more of a rounded sound, and really the neck, I was not happy with that neck. So I wanted to go, so I went up to the Chicago Music Exchange and played a bunch of guitars. And then
and that one spoke
this is
to
the
you.
One I was like, yeah, this is the one.
Yeah.
Because the neck just fits my fat fingers. It's perfect for it. So, and I love the sound of, you know.
It's a nice, warm sound.
Yeah, it's got the double pick guards, kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, and when you said that about the sound, I've learned over the years that not all guitars are the same. Some of them are warmer. Some of them are jingly. And
well, and as I've told Johnny for years, and finally she has consumed enough of the Kool-Aid to believe me, every guitar teaches you different songs.
That's right. You pick it up and like you want to play something different.
Yeah.
Rob, for example, has a Rickenbacker 12-string electric, right?
Okay.
Now you pick that guitar up and you're not going to play a folk song. All of a sudden you're going to be
you can do the birds.
Away. Yeah, you're going to be playing some bird stuff. Man.
What's the story behind that one?
You know what? I got that at the same store.
Did you?
Yeah.
So you picked it up, and it's and a 12-string
and
spoke to you?
And this other local musician named Phil Angotti, he was my salesman.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he's a huge Beatles guy.
Yeah.
And so am I. And he's like, you're going to like, I was looking for a 12 string and he showed me this one. And it was like nothing I've ever seen before. It's a burgundy and just a cool, unique frame. And it played great.
Yeah.
It's got the Rick sound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you pick it up and you put it through the amp and you play Ticket to Ride and you're like, sold!
Yep.
I'm in.
There you go.
So I've always loved it.
Yeah.
It's a great guitar. In fact, Anna Davis, I don't know. Anna plays with Terry a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And us, he's another great local musician and guitar player. And so he's also a guitar fixer.
Mm-hmm.
And he tunes up all our guitars and great guitar player. And he needed that a 12 string for he plays with Naomi Ashley in a band called The Real Pretenders.
Mm-hmm.
So they play Pretenders songs.
Okay.
And he's like, I need a 12 string. Can I borrow it? I'm like, sure, you could borrow it. You know what? Why don't you own it for a while? Because mm-hmm. I knew he'd take great care of it.
Yeah.
So it's playing better than ever.
Cool.
Because he's been loved.
He probably had it for 8 years.
Okay.
He'd let us take it back if we wanted to record with it. We'd have to schedule it with him though.
That's the funny thing about guitarists I've learned over the years. Incredibly generous. Yeah. I mean, I've heard so many stories. People say, "Well, so and so gave me this guitar," mm-hmm. and I'm like, "Really? Yeah, because I picked it up my plane." And he said, "Oh, you play it better than I do. You can have it."
Mm-hmm.
And it just blows me away. And you know, we know stories of people that said, I'm down on my luck.
Yeah.
And somebody pops up and says, well, here's a guitar. Go make some money.
Yeah.
You know? Well, Steve, how many guitars do you have now?
Oh, hush. Stop.
Okay.
Because now he's going to tell you how many pairs of shoes I have, as if they're comparable.
I understand.
Not at all.
I was afraid when I bought this guitar that I'd come home the next day and there'd be a new couch in the living room.
That happens, too. We've got Terry and Rob in studio with us, and just hanging out a Saturday night. We're glad to have you along with us. We got some more live music coming up, so please hang on there on WGN. That's nice.
That's a radio-friendly song. That's a nice hook.
We need more sparkle and shine,
yeah,
right?
Right? So when we started writing and recording that stuff, we got about 6 or 7 songs in the can. And
nice.
Maybe write 6 more and then take the 10 best or something, you know.
What was the inspiration for that?
You know, that's a good question. It was a while ago, you know, when my son was in high school, you know, boys in high school, that's a tough age, right? It's tough to be a parent for a kid.
That's a song title.
Right there. Yeah.
Boys in High School.
Yeah. So anyway, he was getting in a few troubles from time to time. You know, nothing out of the ordinary, but it's enough when you're the parents. Like, it drives me crazy. So I remember I was hanging out with another dad, and he said, hey, man, you look like you're depressed. You're not. What's going on? What's wrong? So I opened up. I said, you know, I have my kid doing this. And they go, oh, geez. I know all about it. Just so you know. My kid left home. I don't know where he is, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, wow. As bad as that is, he's got it. So I tried to put myself in his shoes, you know, trying to find you like he's, you know, looking for his kid.
Interesting.
So he told me. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, I'd go out and try and find him, you know. No, he did eventually. It was about 3 weeks or something, but the kid was out. He didn't know what he was doing. I wasn't good, you know. But so that's what I was trying to write from his perspective a little bit, you know.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden I'm like, whoa. Nice. Yeah. So how do you write music? Do you say, I'm going to sit down today and I'm going to write a song? Or are you driving along and you say, oh, thank goodness I've got a phone. I can sing into the phone. Yeah.
Or sometimes does a chord just make you want to go in a particular direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rob could speak to this too. It can come in. There's all kinds of different ways. Sometimes, you know, you sit, like a song just kind of comes to you. You know, those are the best, you know. Those are usually the best songs. Other times, you know, like you said, sometimes you pick up a guitar and then you just, this guitar, boom.
Yeah.
Guitar writes a song. Mm-hmm. Other times it could be a chord or... you know, sometimes you hear a song on the radio and maybe you're singing to that, and then you kind of come up with your own words, and all of a sudden you're kind of make up your own song that's kind of
so it's not
based
really,
on something else.
You don't approach it like a job where I have to sit down every day and no, make myself write a song like they do in Nashville. You know,
right.
We've talked to many musicians who've gone to Nashville.
Delbert McClinton, who is so regimented, he will take his he said he would take his kid to school, get home from school, and then the next 3 hours, he's writing.
Good or bad, right? There's, he probably throws most of it out, but you get that's how you get your job. That's a good way to do it. I mentioned a woman by the name of Jenny Benjamin. She is a woman that writes haikus. And so she's also a musician, singer, everything. But she does these haikus, and then she asks all of her musician friends. And she's you would know all the people she is connected with. And so she asked them all to write a song based on haiku. So that's like a, you know, that is like a...
That's an assignment.
An assignment.
Yeah.
And so I do one or two of those with her a year. So that's a good thing. That's a good exercise. You know,
yeah.
You look at her haiku and it doesn't have to, you know, you don't use her words, but it just whatever
to inspire
kind of drums
you.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Rob did another one of those together. We can play that song for you if we have more time for another one.
Sure.
Why do we? We're going to have to break for the news in about 2 minutes. But after the news, let's do that.
Can I ask you real quick before we break for the news? Because a listener was looking at your latest CD, the cover of the CD. There's a story behind the picture, the black and white picture on the cover, right?
Yeah. The story is simply. David Kindler's the photographer, and he's done a couple of records for me, and he's a really good photographer. He takes a lot of great photos. He does the American Music Festival. He does festivals all over the country, concerts, and he gets hired by, you know, some big acts to do stuff. So I said, hey, let's do this. And he goes, well, do we want to go take a photo session? I said, you know what? Why don't you use a photo that you'd like people to see? Like, because you use a lot of rock photos and stuff, but maybe you should do something like put your something as a this is a photo. So that's a place in Iowa.
Yeah.
And he heard one of the songs on the record is it by Woody Guthrie. It's called Deportee. So he wanted to go with the kind of that Woody Guthrie kind of look and feel. And so I thought he captured it pretty good.
Black and white.
Yeah, black and white. And,
beautiful.
It looks like that Dust Bowl kind of look to it. So.
And the album is You Won't Have a Name, Terry White. And again, the listener said, interesting picture. Tell me about that. So,
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And I'm doing an audible because we're getting rumors of nasty weather approaching. So we're going to con these guys into one more song and then we're going to cut them loose and hopefully they can beat out the thunder and lightning.
Well, they're so sweet. They might melt, so we don't want them melting out there. We have Terry White and Rob Pierce with us in studio. And you can catch Terry with a bunch of really wonderful songwriters in Chicago coming up on the 5th of July at Fitzgerald's. But follow Terry all the time because he's working frequently, right?
Yeah.
I was looking for the right word there. Frequently is. And Rob, how do you want people to find you? What's the best way?
Come to the Friendly
Tap.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That's where I am full time.
Great music venue.
Friendly Tap website?
It's called the Friendly Tap gave birth to the Friendly Music Community.
Okay.
It's a special place on earth. There's nothing else quite like it in the world. It's a music school, a coffee shop, and a bar.
And the location is?
Right down the street from Fitzgerald's
in
on
Berwyn.
Roosevelt Road.
Berwyn?
Yeah.
On Berwyn.
Yeah.
Yep. Facing
cool.
Oak Park.
They have two stages. It's just tons of great acts play there. It's a great
club. Feature mostly local acts.
Good.
95% is local, but we're up to 10 live music shows a week.
Whoa.
Cool.
Very good.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. All right. Let's get another song from you guys.
All right. This one's called Looking Glass. And again, this is based on a haiku. By Jenny Benjamin. Rob's going to sing it. This Yellowhammer's.
Wait! I like Rob's reaction. Like, oh, really?
Looking Glass ties in well with Jenny's haikus.
Yeah.
This was a project song.
You ready?
Sure.
Perfect place to end.
There you go.
Thank you.
Sorry, my heart thing. You're off in the middle of the harmonica.
You did well, though, because we kind of blindsided Terry with that, and he put on his harmonica neck brace and
tried to pull it off. And hey, you guys, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you. Really thank you guys.
Thanks for being had.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming out tonight. And again, the 5th of July, folks can come see you at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. Yep,
at the American Music Festival.
Yep.
And check out the Friendly Tap.
Yep. And pick up your CD and follow you on Facebook. You're very active on Facebook, too, both of you. Rob, you have a Facebook page, right?
I do.
No, I like that look.
I do. I got personal, and then, of course,
The Friendly Tap.
Music Community's got a Facebook page.
So it's actually the Friendly Music Community is the Facebook page. Got to look it up tonight. Great.
That was an interesting reaction. It's not like, I've got a Facebook page. It's like, oops, I've been caught.
Busted.
You got me.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight.
Thanks.
We've appreciated it.
It's always good to listen to you guys every Saturday night. Thank you. It's great to glad you're back and doing it again. We missed you when you were gone.
Appreciate it. We're glad you're doing your thing, too. Yeah. Get out of here before the storms. I'll be fretting over whether or not you're home. Can you send me a text when you get home? Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Seriously.
Right. Yes, we will.
Thank you much.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thanks a bunch.
We'll take a break. More coming up. And Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Roosevelt Road, everybody, come on down.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite Terry White songs.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And one of the many things I love about Terry's music is he puts so much of himself or what he sees into his music.
Yeah.
It's not just writing a song. It's, okay, this is, there's some emotion attached to it.
I keep telling them, because we're looking at lightning, I'm like, go, go, you need to get to the car now.
Yeah, it is starting to look a little nasty, and we've had too much nasty this week.
And there is a marine warning. I mean, if you're listening to us and you're in one of the harbors, Northerly Island, Winthrop Harbor.
In fact, we've got this flashing in front of us, and I will read it to you as it gets to the beginning.
Ending at 1:43 a.m.
Yeah, and okay. The National Weather Service has issued a special marine warning for Burns Harbor to Michigan City, Indiana, Gary to Burns Harbor, Indiana, and Calumet Harbor, Illinois, to Gary, Indiana. It started at 11:43 and ends at 1:43.
Yeah.
So it's getting nasty again.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said it, and it's true. At least we won't be. I don't think we'll be dealing with drought for a while after all the rain that we've had over the past week. I just get nervous because I'm sitting here in a glass box and I'm seeing lightning and I'm like, really? We're safe though, right? We're in a good place.
Right. Keep telling yourself
that. Yeah, we're safe. right. Oh, you know, speaking of that, and we didn't have time to get to our shout outs tonight, but Eric.
We may do that a little later.
Yes, but I've got to tell you, you've got to look at the picture that Eric Baum, who is one of our regular listeners.
Right.
And he lives in Maine, and the picture that he posted tonight is gorgeous. Every picture he posts, it just blows me away, because I always say he should be working for the Board of Tourism.
And this would be on our Facebook page. And, I'm just clicking on this.
Yes, he said, while Chicagoland suffered from its wild storms, Maine was treated to a nice rainbow over the harbor at sunset, overlooking the lobster buoy tree. And he's listening from Wells Beach, Maine. That's gorgeous. And you know me, I love a tree. I think we need a lobster buoy tree.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen this, you can go to our Facebook page and just click on. This would be, you would click on some of the comments under the post that we did about what we would have coming on the show tonight.
Yes.
And the address is facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show.
The pictures I put up of our drive into work are well received. A couple of people pointed out, wow, it was so light. Well, yeah, that's compared to last week because we had a later start last week because of hockey.
Yep.
And it was dark as we were coming in. I know we're taking the same route. We're seeing basically the same things every week, but it looks different because of where the sun is,
and it's going to look really different next week.
It is, and someone will invariably say, I don't like the pictures driving to work in Florida like I do in Chicago. And that's okay, because it's different.
Yeah. It's a different city, you think?
And the water is different, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of bigger and saltier and can be meaner. It's been really mean with riptides and...
Our part of Florida, we're doing a little bit of a fact-finding mission, because it's been a while since we've been down there, and they've been dealing with some stuff.
Yeah.
So we're going to head down and check out everything from there have been shark attacks. And
you're not supposed to say that, though, because that scares people. There was one shark attack, but it was in a...
But there have been... Schools of sharks sighted closer to the beach area than they've ever been.
Yeah, and scientists are saying something's going on here. What it is, we're not sure. Is it because the water is so warm? You know, what's happening? Because this is activity like we've not seen before. So is our producer emeritus packing up to leave?
Well, I think he's going to stick around for a few minutes.
Producer Emeritus
Julian. Let me turn on the Producer Emeritus mic.
Producer Emeritus, reporting for duty.
Good man, yes. How many cameras did you have tonight?
Four.
Four cameras.
I thought about five, but I thought...
It's
overkill.
Yeah. But I was thrilled that you brought in the camera that we gifted you that was my mama's camera. And you like it.
I love it.
I'm so happy.
This is, and for you camera geeks, this is a Canon AE-1. Johnny's mom had one, and I still have one.
And she loved that camera.
My favorite photos ever were taken using slide film on the Canon AE-1. Just great stuff.
Julian's going to work on that, right?
Mm-hmm. Will do. Yeah. I'm currently using Kodak Gold ISO 200.
All right. Well, made me happy. Thank you for pointing it out to me and telling me that, in fact, you've been using it quite a bit.
Yeah, this is my second roll. I've got 9 shots left on this roll.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you.
Our producer designate is about to slap us because we have just rolled over the time we were supposed to stop talking.
All right. We'll hush up and say news is next here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. And if you're a regular listener, you know that anytime you hear kind of unusual music, it means we're going to be talking about all things automotive with the publisher of Consumer Guide. That would be your Tom Appel. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
And tonight's theme is?
Brasilia.
Tom.
I can't exactly explain why. I wanted to do a Brazilian thing.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to stick with sort of the tropical sounding stuff. So I went with the capital city.
Tom. Are you under the covers?
You sound like you're talking underneath a big, big, heavy blanket.
I have no idea what that would be.
It literally sounds like you're in bed, covered up.
Wait, how about now?
You threw the covers back, but you're still in bed.
Now, you notice he says, how about now? And there's silence after he says, how about now?
All right, now.
Now.
And there's still silence after he says, how about now? He doesn't keep talking. He just
Keep talking.
After
I'm
you say
talking.
Okay. Say a few All more right. words.
That was Brazil by the band Malandro off the album Malandro Latino from 2013.
I really like that. How did you come across that?
That was handed to me by YouTube. I spend enough time listening to music on YouTube that sometimes I just stumble across something really good, and that was one of those things.
I like that a lot. It's got a really good feel to it.
And if you're new to the show, why the heck do we do this when we're talking about all things automotive? Because these are some of the things that Tom uses to check out different sound systems from different vehicles that he is testing.
So let me just start with the not so serious, because we do have a lot of serious stuff to talk about.
Uh-huh.
At the Sox game today, did you see what was happening outside game?
Did you see
the lowriders?
The lowriders were in town. Oh my gosh!
That is such a wonderful cultural thing.
Oh,
for people who don't know, lowriders came out of L.A. Very popular with the Latin community there, and it was just a very specific regional thing. but it was so cool and so popular. And a lot of them have to do with going really low and then using automation to raise one side of the car or the other while they parade. But they're fantastic cars with very specific style. It is great to see them out of L.A. and in person.
Yeah, yeah. It's great to see one, like, time to the music where the car is moving in unnatural ways to music.
And on the picture we saw today, I think one of them looked like a 63 Chevy, and I couldn't figure what the other one was. It was like an old Buick or something.
The Chevy looked like a Bel Air, just like the Bel Air that we owned in flesh color. Who makes a car in flesh color? I remember when my dad came home with that from Z Frank. Remember Z Frank?
Sure.
Before you buy?
Yeah.
And I remember as a little kid, I went, ew, why do we have to have like a skin color car? And it was, but it was a cool car.
Z Frank was famous for having that weird track system where they would analyze your car for like $20 or something like that. And you would drive your car through this thing that looked like a pinball machine for cars. And they would check everything on your car, or they were telling you that they were checking everything on your car.
Yeah.
But I believe they would check some, like the ignition, the points condenser, maybe the alignment, things like that, and the battery. But it was a really cool thing. And my dad was really into it. He brought our Nova there, like every 6 months or so.
Your Nova.
Our Nova, yeah.
Well, that was back in the day when just about every car dealer had some kind of gimmick. Like, what was it? Mr. Norms did something where they did the high performance the cars, and they would basically hot rod any Dodges.
Really?
That was their thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the occasional Plymouth. And if they did a Plymouth, and you have that Plymouth now, and it can be authenticated, very valuable.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a buddy that's actually super into Mr. Norms, and he has a few Mopar muscle cars that he collects, and he does have a Plymouth. I think it's a Barracuda. That was worked over by Mr. Norms.
Mm. So who was responsible for doing the dipping of cars to protect from rust? I'm calling it dipping, but...
Earl Scheib.
Earl Scheib, yes.
$25.
Yes.
No ups, no extras.
Or was Earl Scheib the guy who would paint your car?
Earl Scheib painted, and then... The rust proofing companies were Rusty Jones and Zeebart.
Zeebart. Yes.
The Rusty Jones thing turned out to be a complete bust because in the process of sealing your car, they were actually sealing in water that was supposed to be able to get out. So many of the cars that were treated by Rusty Jones ended up suffering from rust that came from inside of the doors.
Let me tell you that we had a 78, was it 78? Maybe a 70. It was a 73, excuse me, because our Bel Air was a 63. The 73 Pontiac Le Mans.
Mm-hmm.
And when we would drive to Tennessee, you would think that you were in a submarine because
you could hear the water
the
sloshing.
The water in the doors would slosh so loud. I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom, Dad. Don't listen to the doors sloshing. Literally. It was so bad.
And who was it? Was it, I want to say, and correct me on this, Tom, was it AMC that was the first manufacturer to say you don't need to do rust proofing, we've done it for you?
That was a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, that was like the late 70s when AMC was really into building what they called tough cars, you know, reliable, well-built. That was their thing. And that's kind of where they had to go because their cars were kind of getting old and they were kind of heavy and they didn't make great use of space, so they kind of felt like submarines on the inside. So they went with the tough thing. And they weren't kidding. They were pretty well put together cars.
In fact, if you look now at some of the original AMC Eagles, they were really the forerunners to a lot of four-wheel drive vehicles that we have on the road today.
Well, you've always loved AMCs.
I
was like, really? I just never saw one I considered to be cool. And showing my ignorance. My listener says, thank you. I'm absolutely singing the Z Frank jingle in my head now. We're here for you.
I don't remember that. That's interesting.
And then here's a listener that says, did I lose it? It was the slogan for the Rust.
Rusty Jones?
Yeah, Rusty Jones. This is a listener, 708, says, I had a 73 Le Mans. The trunk would fill with water. I feel your pain. Because I can tell you, we got to the Holiday Inn, and our suitcase was wet. And I was like, oh, really? Can't we get a new car? An AMC 1980 model year for standard Z-Bart, 872 tells us. And then
it's
been pointed out to me that flesh color is actually racist because not everyone's flesh is peach.
Okay.
Well, it was not a very attractive color. I think you know what I was talking about. And by the way, another listener says, Tom sounds like he's in a bathroom in Guam.
Yes. So your computer has now gone to Guam.
Oh, here's
wow! I am not. I swear to God, I'm not on an island.
872 says Z-Bart. It's us or rust was their slogan.
Yep.
And 312 says hello, Rusty Jones. Goodbye, Rusty Cars.
Yes.
Boy, that opened up a whole bunch of memories.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. His cartoons theme tonight is Brasilia. And, Tom, whoever this is, it sounds to me like something that should have been a theme for a bad 70s spy movie.
But you
that
could,
would be great for that.
But you could make it good by putting James Garner in it. Right, Tom?
Make it great. You could make it great by doing
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah. You can make it great with James Garner. You're right.
So who was that and what was that?
The song is called Lobos El Escape, and the band is Los Orientales de Paramanga. And I cheated a little. This is actually a Paraguayan song, not a Brazilian song. But well, I figured because you can walk from one to the other, it felt close enough.
Yeah, but your credibility's out the window.
Yeah, that's
now.
It. That goes on your permanent record. We got a lot of stuff to get to, but can we start with one of the stories that came out this week? And we talk about recalls and all kinds of things. This is one that really got our attention because people could be seriously hurt by something that is supposed to be a rather simple fix.
This is the Honda recall. And aren't we looking at like more than a million?
CRVs and Accords.
Oh, okay. We're talking about a different, because there's the 880,000 Honda recalls for the rusting subframe.
No, this is the one that has to do with when you're trying to fix your flat tire.
The tire repair kit bottle cap can detach and become a projectile. 8 injuries have been reported. Owners will receive a free repair and notification letter by late July. But I would say in the meantime, don't go using that repair kit.
And this covers 2023 to 2026 CRV hybrid, 2023 to 2026 Accord hybrid. It's the tire inflator kit that is under recall.
It also includes the 2526 Honda CRV fuel cell EV models. And again, this is a case of injuries have been reported. It becomes a flying projectile that can hit you in all kinds of sensitive places on your body. So
there's so much to this story. And it just underscores how difficult it is to build a car. And then how incredibly subject manufacturers are to the quality of their suppliers, right? I mean, Honda does not make these inflator kits. They don't make these things. But ultimately, they're not holding up in the environment in a trunk for very long. And this is a huge problem. It's an easy fix. You're going to get a different inflator kit probably. But it really underscores just how hard it is to build a car these days. And you sort of wonder why a bunch of manufacturers don't just get into, you know, restaurants or something easy.
Yeah.
Is it possible for, I know you can't recommend any specific brand, but would, if you want to make sure that you're not stranded someplace, is there a good tire inflator that you can buy someplace?
Oh yeah, there's anywhere. You can go to any hardware store or any car supply store, like Why can't I think of one?
AutoZone or something like that. Yeah.
But they all sell the inflators. They're not exactly inflator kits. They're just cans of the inflator material.
Yeah.
And people should know that if they use that stuff, they are probably ruining their tire. But it is better than being stuck on the side of the road someplace dangerous. So obviously the trade-off works. But they're not very expensive. I think it's like $10-15 a can. Mm-hmm. And they tend to work. That stuff tends to work. So.
So I'm also reading here a Honda press release that Honda dealers will replace the sealant bottle or the tire repair kit nozzle free of charge. That doesn't seem like it's a really big deal. And I know the headline becomes, you know, Honda is recalling a million vehicles and they're all new vehicles. It's just that there have been some injuries reported. So they are taking this seriously and saying, you know what, we've got to address it. What was the Honda story that you have, Tom?
Oh, it's a crazy story, and it's a big deal, and it's going to cost Honda so much more money than we're talking about here with the inflator kits. But 880,000 Honda vehicles, the Pilot, the Passport, the Ridgeline, that's two crossovers, and the Ridgeline is their pickup truck, plus the NDX, which is an Acura version, basically, of the Pilot. Are being recalled because the subframe is growing rusty.
Ooh.
And this it's really specific states where it gets cold and they use salt. And Illinois is included in this recall for people who need to know that. But the subframes are going to be inspected, and then I don't know if they know what their next action is at this point, but it could be a very big deal. Word is going out July 7th on this one.
But again, it's only vehicles sold in particular states, right? Like Michigan?
DC. I'm sorry. DC is substitute for a state. But Michigan's one. Yeah, New York, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I don't have the full list of states here.
But again, going back to, we were just talking about Rusty Jones, this is unusual for a manufacturer to say, oops, yeah, in some states our cars may be kind of rusty.
Especially when you're talking about new cars, right, Tom?
And you can say,
cars really don't rust anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, oh, well, it's in states where there's salt. Well, yeah, there are cars that are sold in states where there is salt used and they don't rust. So
you guys might remember that the previous generation Toyota Tacoma was subject to some rear subframe rusting that affected the attachment points for the axle. So that became extremely dangerous.
And
they had to fix that.
I've got the list of states, and let me just clarify that Illinois is, in fact, on the list, as well as Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky. You've got Maine, Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Vermont, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wisconsin, as well as the District of Columbia.
Wouldn't you think that it's basically any state where it regularly snows?
Snows, right. And
yeah.
They use salt.
Yeah.
That is a big one.
That's a weird thing, because does that imply that they didn't learn from the previous problem they had and that they're using the same kind of materials? And that's just a weird story.
You know, if I go going way, way back to the Chevrolet Vega, 1970, that car was actually designed to never rust, and then it turned out to rust like crazy. And the problem was not in the materials used or the engineering, it was in the manufacturing. And for whatever reason, the rust proofing that was supposed to take place did not take place correctly. And it's often in the manufacturing where the problem goes bad. I doubt it's an engineering issue. It's like there's just something about a bunch of these that got made and the coverage didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And they were left exposed to the elements.
Mm. Well, if you have one of the 880,000 Hondas that are affected by this rust issue, you'll get your notification letter in early July. So it's in a month, summer months. And again, it goes back as far as if what I'm reading is 2014 Acuras up to 2020 Acuras. That's a lot of cars right there. 19 to 23 Honda Passport, 16 to 22 Honda Pilot, 17 to 23 Honda Ridgeline. And again, you'll be getting your letter in just about a month to tell you what to do about that. We're talking cars. We do it twice a month with Tom Appel. We'll take a break, get you up to date on news, and be right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yeah, I want to be sitting on a beach, little Mai Tai.
Yeah.
I
want a cute outfit, too. I got to get the right clothes. Yeah. Got to have the right clothes for this music.
This music is Tom's Tunes, and the theme for Tom's Tunes tonight is Brasilia. And that was who and what?
That was Antonio Carlos Jobim with Astro de Gibraltar. I think I got that close to right. It's a song called Agua de Beber, or Water to Drink, from 1965.
It's actually Antonio Carlos Jobim.
Jobim, okay.
And Astrud Gilberto. She's the one that did the Girl from Ipanema.
Ipanema, yeah.
Yep.
And if you want to see a wonderful, wonderful video, sometime look up, I'm trying to think of which Frank Sinatra show this was. It might have been from The Man and His Music. And it's Frank Sinatra and Antonio Carlos Jobim. And they do a couple songs, and it's absolutely wonderful. I mean, I like this theme.
I do, too.
We could do this every time you're on, and I'd be a happy camper. This is some good stuff, Tom. So before we get too far afield, for people that are tuning in and they're saying, well, who is this guy? What is this consumer guide place, and how do I get there, and why do I want to go there? Tell us, Mr. Tom.
Yeah, you can check us out at consumerguide.com. Consumer Guide been around since 1967, and I've been there since 2001 or two, something like that. But what we do is review cars. That's our primary stuff. Every year we release our best buys. You can check out our best buy picks for 2026 at consumerguide.com. Plus, I do fun stuff, too. I just wrote a piece about forgotten car brands, Isuzu. Mm-hmm. A lot of people remember Isuzu selling cars here in the U.S., but they did. And you can check out our podcast, the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast, on our homepage, or you can download it anywhere.
And it's an award-winning podcast. And if people want to listen to it, can we still listen to it as it's being recorded, or is that a day-after thing?
It's a day-after thing now, yeah. We were working on something with a studio, but currently we don't have a studio to record from. So, yeah, we go live every Tuesday morning very early. Or not live. I'm sorry. It's released.
I'm going to take you back to the topic of the Honda rusting problem, because George 312 area code has an interesting thing to say, because we are, in fact, a mobile society. He said, you would think that this recall would be for all states, not just states that have snow and put salt down, because if you buy a car in Illinois and you move somewhere, then technically your car, even though now you're living in Vegas.
Or if you buy a car in Florida and you come up to see your relatives in Illinois.
Right. So it really should be just in general.
I'm sorry, John. That's a fantastic point. And one wonders if the scope of the recall doesn't include cars that spent any significant portion of their of their life cycle in one of these states. Great point.
So our immediate response is, the hell? So before we get too far afield, what are you driving?
Wow, I'm in a car I've been dying to drive for a very long time. I don't get into compact pickup trucks very often, and I'm delighted to just be spending a week with the Ford Ranger. And I'm about to use a word that's a little contradictory, a relatively affordable version of the Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
It's an XLT trim level with all-wheel drive. I'm sorry, with four-wheel drive. And it's a nice truck. I like it a lot, and I'm also disappointed for a bunch of reasons. And one of the things actually is an affordability issue. This is an XLT. It's the second lowest trim level, and it's still $52,000.
Ooh.
Which strikes me as, affordable is a rough word here.
Yeah.
It does have the optional 2.7-liter EcoBoost engine. That's a big boost in power, so that's something people might like. But I'm a little disappointed, too, that at this price, an XLT trim, the vehicle does not come with full-time four-wheel drive.
Hmm.
It has a part-time system, which is a little disappointing.
Mm-hmm. And it's over 50,000.
It is. Nice truck. It just seems like a lot of money. Now, people are paying this for these trucks, and the resale value on compact trucks, mid-size trucks, is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not throwing your money away.
That's true.
You just have to come up with a lot of it up front.
But if you have a real need, say for business, you work construction or whatever, and you need a truck, I guess in the world of trucks, probably it's considered affordable, right? When you're looking at 80, 90,000.
Full-time trucks, full-size trucks get so expensive that the mid-size trucks start to make sense, and they are tough enough to do commercial application stuff. Additionally, one of the things about these too is that you needn't quite spend this much money, but ultimately, I guess it makes sense if you're a small fleet operator mm-hmm. and you have a bunch of Rangers, and that does you can make that work.
Well, were you comfortable in the truck?
That's a great question. The Ranger is about the smallest of the mid-sized trucks, and I'm not especially comfortable in it. Now, people who don't know me, I'm a very big guy. I'm over 300 pounds. I'm 6 foot tall. I'm having a hard time getting in and out of it. Mm. Once I'm inside of it, I'm pretty comfortable, but the door openings are pretty small. Now, I was recently in the Nissan Frontier, same class of vehicles, no problems at all. So people really, I always encourage people to test drive vehicles.
Yeah.
This is why.
That is interesting. So, and one of my pet peeves is doors that swing open that so far.
Yeah.
But then again, if you need that space to get in comfortably, you kind of need the door to open properly for you.
You do, and you really want the rear doors to open wide.
Yeah, okay.
For getting kids, car seats in there, getting grandma and grandpa in there. It's just handy that the rear doors open.
Is there a high step up in that vehicle, in that truck?
A little bit, yeah. And then part of it's got off-roady wheels and tires, so not too hard to get in and out of them.
We're going to have to break for news. Can we keep you for just a few minutes on the other side of news? Because two questions have popped up. One, a listener says, is there a Jeep recall? So we've got a couple more recalls to get to, including your Jeep recall. So that's for a guy at a 815 area code. And also one of our listeners, I think his name is Jim, he said he just received information from the state that tells him he can renew his driver's license by mail. I just received one of those too. He hasn't driven in 3 years. He's legally blind. And he said, basically, the letter says you can go on the internet and renew your driver's license, and he's saying, should I tell them?
But I would ask the question: when was he designated legally blind? Had he been driving before that? So it looks on his driving record he hasn't had any violations.
You're right, because he hasn't driven. Sure. All right, we're going to take a break for news. Tom's going to stay with us for a few. We're going to get to a couple more recalls and a little bit more car news here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And the theme for Tom's tunes tonight is Brasilia. And I know who that is, but I would bet if you didn't know who that is, you wouldn't know who that is, because his voice sounds a little different on that. You want to explain it to us, Tom?
Sure, yeah. And I can't believe that this is already 8 years old, because this album seemed like such a big deal. It seems like last week. But that is Back in Brazil by Sir Paul McCartney, off the album Egypt Station from 2018.
The funny thing is, I thought it sounded like Sting.
Yeah.
I was like, that's got to be Sting.
It has that kind of a Sting vibe. Yeah. I could hear that, except Sting wouldn't multi-track it, and Paul multi-tracked his vocal on that.
Oh, picky.
But I'm trying to think who he sounds like. We saw him on stage in New York in the Evita thing.
Ricky Martin?
He sounds a little Ricky Martin-ish to me.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But I love this Brasilia vibe.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Paul McCartney has a number one album.
Yeah.
Number one. Can you believe it?
Good for him.
Yeah.
Finally, huh?
Did you get the new album?
I have not listened to it yet.
And I need to do that. And I have to confess, mm-hmm. I don't know why. I haven't listened to the latest Stones album either. I don't know why. I'm not ready for it.
Okay, I haven't listened to that, but I do like the new Paul McCartney CD. I'm not crazy about it, because there's sometimes his voice makes him sound very frail, and it makes me very sad.
That's okay. And on this CD, he's looking back at a lot of his career, and that's okay.
I listen to some of the lyrics, and I'm listening and thinking, yeah, he sounds a little frail. I get really sad. So then I have to look for a happy song on the CD. Okay. The listener said, does Tom know anything about a Jeep recall? Do you, Tom?
Yeah, there's a huge Jeep recall, and I think it just dropped yesterday. 1 million Jeep products between 2021 and 2025.
Wow.
All the classic Jeep things, the Jeep Wrangler and the Jeep Gladiator, which is basically a pickup truck version of the Wrangler. But this is a park outside warning.
Ooh, and that's serious.
Short. Yeah, it's serious. And it's a short related to the power steering system. Word goes out July 9th, but it's an out and away warning. So don't park it near anything and park it outside of your garage. Yeah, so this is a big deal. This is going to be expensive. They'll probably get to this pretty quick because if it's a short, I think they know what the problem is. They probably have to build a new
widget
design and then manufacture a new wiring harness.
Okay, let me linger on this for a second, because people should really pay attention. So the year, the models, and the park outside warning means you want to park it out and, if possible, away, because it could catch fire and nasty stuff could happen.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and I should have said that, Steve. You want, because of the threat of fire, and an electrical short is always dangerous in that regard, park it at the end of the driveway, not near your other cars.
And again, the model years?
21 through 25. It's the Wrangler. We all know what that is. And the Gladiator, which looks just like the Wrangler, but has a pickup bed.
I found this interesting, though. In the story, it reads, given the nature of the problem, owners are urged to park outside until dealers repair or replace the affected parts. You will find out about this on July 9th. And I know I harangue about this because I'm like, really? I'm going to park outside and deal with fear for a month?
And here's what I don't get about that, Tom. And we've talked about this with any of a number of manufacturers. Yeah. If they know of the problem, if the dealership is capable of emailing you, as they do every week, saying, hey, here's these new stuff we have for your car. Don't you want to come in and buy this new mat or whatever? They've got your information. Why can't they email you instantly and say, hey, problem, park outside? Rather than, you'll get it by snail mail within the next month or so, maybe.
And the window they're giving is July 9th to August 3rd. You'll get your letter in that period of time. I'm going to go to the dealership tomorrow and say, you know what? You got to fix this.
I'm sorry. There is no excuse for that.
No, and it's interesting. And I wonder if for some reason this comes under the heading, however misguided, of privacy. Because the dealer has your information, especially if it's something recent enough to be recalled. And maybe they can't or don't want to share with the manufacturer.
But then why should the dealer be able to email you saying, come on in and get these new mats?
Or the new cars are out.
And if you financed through the manufacturer, then they've already got some of your information. So I don't buy the privacy argument.
Yeah. No, it's a great question. And I'm not suggesting that's a good argument. I'm saying it's a possible argument that's being used for some reason. To protect the dealer information. But, ultimately you think, yes, they would just email you right away.
And my well-thought-out response to that argument is,
well-thought-out. All right.
Well said, sir.
Squeezing in a couple more questions for you. Has the incentive for EVs been eliminated?
Yeah, all gone. It's possible that you live in a state that has it. that might be a state or a local city incentive, but most of those disappeared too. So, yeah, they're gone. And what's interesting is that EV sales have not completely tanked. And in fact, Hyundai is reporting that they're selling as many EVs as they ever did. So that's exciting news. Hmm. There are still people in that market, and it hasn't disappeared. But we were cruising at almost 10% EV market share, and now it's running about 5 or 6%.
Wow.
So
that's huge.
This is sort of the natural place it would be, and EVs are still more expensive than conventional cars. So there you have it. A little incentive would be good.
Sticking with the EV thought just for a second, just my personal opinion. Boy, that Tesla Cybertruck is the ugliest vehicle that anyone has ever. And we wound up seeing over the past couple of days, we've seen about three of them. And my immediate and they all look that same gray, and they're not clean. So when there's dust on them, they look even. It looks like a rolling dumpster.
And you, if you said yesterday, how can you see out the back of that vehicle? Tell me, have you ever?
And that's because of all the cameras they have inside.
Yes, have you driven one of the trucks, the Cybertrucks?
I have not driven the Cybertruck. I most recently drove the Model Y, which is a very likable small car. That's the Tesla small crossover. But yeah, it's hard to see out the back. You are reliant on cameras at the dashboard to get take care of that. But to Steve's point, when I see one on the road, they look very poorly maintained, and there's something about the way the dirt gathers by the side of the panels that makes them look very ill-kept. It looks like there's actually rust or surface wear. It's weird.
It is weird. I've never seen one that was shiny and looked like a, ooh, look at that, a sparkling new car.
You've always heard that when you drive a car off the lot, it depreciates X number of dollars. To me, it's like you drive this out of the lot, and suddenly you become the car becomes like Pigpen in Peanuts. There's this cloud of dust that just hangs over it.
Yes, yes. Tom, a listener says, why with soaring gas prices, wouldn't there be incentives for EVs and hybrids? And aren't we kind of shooting ourselves in the foot by reversing the incentives?
It's a great question. It depends on the manufacturer. You have Honda, for example, that completely backed away from all EVs. They got away from them. They were building cars in conjunction with General Motors, famously, and that fell apart. But you've got Hyundai and Kia. They're sticking in the game. And Chevy and General Motors are in a very big way. They're still selling these cars. They're not incentivizing them, but if you look at the price of the Equinox EV or the Bolt, which is back for a brief appearance, those are both pretty excitingly priced. You're talking cars as low as $30,000. So if you're thinking about an EV, that's the thing to do. Also, used EVs are kind of a deal. So if you want to experiment with a third car that's an EV, you know, you could go get a used Tesla Model Y, for example, or like a used Hyundai EV5 or EV6, I'm sorry. These are great cars to play with if you're thinking about doing it and don't want to spend a lot of money.
What is the market for hybrids doing?
It's ridiculous because of gas prices especially. But most manufacturers now are talking about just going fully hybrid with certain product lines because the public now is completely accepting that hybrid works. It's not a maintenance issue. It's not going to be a long-term reliability issue. And the fuel economy is so much better. The big news for 2026 was that the Toyota RAV4, one of the best-selling vehicles in the U.S., is now all hybrid, for example. So Toyota's got the RAV4, the Camry, the Sienna minivan. Those vehicles are all hybrid. And people are buying those. And despite the fact that the Camry went up in price about $2,000 when it went all hybrid, sales did not fall.
Wow. Okay. By the way, Steve, a listener from 319 area codes, I totally agree with you. The Tesla trucks looks like a bad 82 Datsun. I have to look up an 82 Datsun now.
That's not fair to Datsun.
I don't think it is.
I mean, it makes an Aztec look like a luxury vehicle.
Thank you. I was going, but you know what? I harangued about the Aztecs since the day you said, I think we need to get one. And I said, oh, no, we're not getting that ugly vehicle.
And I've always thought that an Aztec was an underappreciated vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People who own them love them.
Because they have to. Well, no one else will.
Well, now they're kind of hot and collectible, but we can thank Walter White for that.
Oh, stop. Now I'm going to have to hear. If we had one, it would be collectible. No. All right, Tom, we're going to let you get out of here.
Blatant plug before we go, a consumer guide, who, where, what, why, and what do we find on the site?
Yeah, check us out at consumerguide.com. That's where my new car reviews live. You can check out our 2026 Best Buys. You can also stream the podcast right there on our homepage. And then Tuesday morning, our new podcast drops. We're talking to Larry Veliquette of Automotive News about all things automotive business this week. I'm excited to talk to Larry. A
lot of stuff to cover, too, Tom. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And if we didn't get to your question, you know what, Lister asked this question last time you were on with us. Is there a place where people could direct a question to you when you're not on the radio?
Oh, carstuff@consumerguide.com.
Oh, okay, carstuff@consumerguide.com. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, drop me a line.
Have a great week. Guys. Talk to you soon.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
More coming up. Stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. So there we were yesterday in my ophthalmologist's office, and we've been friends for a long time, and frequently we trade new musical discoveries, and she traded that new musical discovery with us. We had never heard of Irma, and the song is Black Sun. I love that. I know nothing about this woman.
I know.
Wow, is she good? She plays fingerstyle guitar.
She's from Cameroon. She is, oh my, she's so young. Born in 88. She's better known as simply Irma, I-R-M-A, a Cameroonian singer-songwriter who spends a great deal of her time in France. And when it comes to categorizing her music, it's really hard. It's just good.
Really good.
Yeah, and thanks to YouTube, she's become quite popular, especially over in Europe.
Her full name is Irma Panny, P-A-N-Y. And you can just look up Black Sun by Irma. And those of you listening to this on the podcast, obviously you didn't get to hear the music, which is another reason why you should always listen to us live, because you get to hear the music and everything.
Yes, yes.
But if you missed Terry White's songs, they will magically appear in a few weeks as videos on the Steve and Johnny blog, and the blog address is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We would love it if you would subscribe. Doesn't cost anything. We don't spam you. You just get an email anytime we do a new post. But I want to find out more about Irma. She's wonderful.
I just looked her up, and she's categorized as folk.
I could see that. I would say funky alternative folk.
Yeah, do not underestimate the funkiness of her sound. And I want to check out her cover versions. She's done a cover of I Want You Back, the Jackson Fives.
Oh, I bet that'll be interesting.
She's done Bubbly, the Colby Calais tune.
Oh, I could hear that.
Yeah. So she's done, again, thanks to the internet, she's been able to get her name out there, and as a result of doing some covers, she then dropped some original music, and I guess she's got a beautiful tune that she wrote called Letter to the Lord. So gotta look that up. So that's Irma, I-R-M-A. She's all over YouTube, and she's 37 years old. Why does 88 seem like the person should be 12?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, 88, oh, she's just a kid. And then I read, actually, she's 37. I'm like, really? It was just 1988.
Okay, Jonathan, when were you born?
Oh, stop.
1983.
Okay, we're not hearing Jonathan. And the reason we're not hearing Jonathan is...
because he was old and born in 1983.
Wait a minute.
Oh.
No, not that.
Not that one.
Not that one.
Mm-mm.
No, we should be hearing you.
Everything good in the mic?
I believe we should be hearing you.
Okay, 1983 was the year of my birth.
Okay.
1983.
All right.
That's acceptable. You can stay. But that was the year before we got married.
Yes.
It makes me feel young again.
Yeah, well, I don't know about you, but when I saw 1988, I was like, wow, she's a teenager. I'm like, whoa, wow. Sammy's on the other side. Sammy, shout out.
Wait a minute. Let me do this.
Oh, you've got your own microphone, too.
Hold on. I need to do this.
He's just finding the right button for you, Sammy.
And now we can hear from Sammy.
Now I can hear from you guys.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was trying to lead the lips. I'm like, help, help.
Okay, so what year were you born?
1996.
Oh, come on. That really was yesterday.
Jonathan, would you please slap him?
Oh, whoa. I'm going to pinch your sunburned face.
Hey, yeah. Be nice.
Yeah, pinch your cheeks. Yes.
Paint me red and call me a tomato.
Yeah, that crossed my mind.
That's me.
That's Sammy on the other side. He is out. What's the term?
Sammy is the producer du jour. And Jonathan is the producer designate.
And Julian left. He was the producer emeritus.
Yes.
Yes. We were well covered.
And he has segued from producer emeritus to our videographer.
That's right. Professional videographer. All right. We got to hush up and take a break for news. And then we're into the final stretch of the show here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. You thought you were going to get out of here without hearing us do some shouts.
Uh-huh.
Because we've got really behind on a whole lot of stuff tonight, but we wanted to get to some of the shouts. And let me start with some of the shouts. Shout-outs to some of the people who were nice enough to check out our blog from all over the world. And if you haven't checked out our blog, again, we really would appreciate it if you would. Go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com and subscribe. No charge. We don't spam you. We don't sell your information. You just get an email anytime that we have a new post. And we're always amazed at some of the countries that are checking us out. So we'll give you the top 10 for this week. The number one, of course, the United States. Number two, China. Number three, Hong Kong, S-A-R, China.
Hmm.
Number four, Germany. Number five, the United Kingdom. Number six, France. Number seven, Switzerland.
Oh, that's a first.
Number eight, India. Number nine, Belgium.
Again, a first.
And number 10, Serbia.
Wow.
And I want to acknowledge some of the people who were nice enough to check in our blog tonight. And let me see. Unique Detective Bob says, I will be listening. Then, sounds like a great show tonight. I'll be listening from Sandwich on my phone. Can't wait to see your pictures tonight. Safe travels next week. Prayers for the ones that lost their homes in the tornadoes. Yeah, really. That's from Debbie Tusick. Robin Aiken will be listening from Port Charlotte, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Longtime listener, first-time commenter on your blog. It's Debbie Hardiman, listening from Waukesha, Wisconsin, on the WGN app. Have a terrific show. Peter Lawrence, I'll be listening by my little transistor radio here in Chicago Heights. Tonight's show sounds interesting. And Mark Orr is listening from Arlington Heights.
And because it's a late hour, it's safe to say we have a few hundred names that I could go through. So I decided to randomly choose some from here, from there, and so I'm just going to rattle them off. If I miss you, you know what? Tune in next week. I'll get you next week. How's that? Our buddy Chuck Snitchler, best friend of this radio show and to this radio station, listening in Valpo. Diane Vasquez is in Northwest Indiana.
By the way, Chuck Snitchler posted a picture of, he said, fortunately, we were spared from the horrible tornadoes that went through Merrillville and Couts, sending lots of prayers to everyone affected by the tornadoes.
Yeah. And we heard from our engineer, Big Plug Bob, Portage, Indiana, probably won't have power back until early next week. Yeah. A number of our listeners said that they survived the storm, but they're helping out neighbors who were trees down, debris all over the place. I think I mentioned Diane Vasquez, who's our graphics guru. She's in Northwest Indiana. Barb Larkin is home from work by now, Barb, because she said she listens to us on her way home from work, and then when she gets home, she's in South Milwaukee. Roger Camp is in Athens, Ohio. Carrie Johnson is in Palm Coast, Florida every week, but tonight she's in St. Charles visiting family. Jean Jacobson's in Milwaukee. Rob and Amy in Whiting. Sherry in Bolingbrook. Mike in Elmwood Park. Bonnie and George in Elgin. Dave in Chicago. Mike Kochunian is in Gahanna, Ohio. J.W. and Dottie are tuned in from Chesapeake, Virginia. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin. Jim G's in Wisconsin, in the Koshkonong Township of Wisconsin. Bing Besh is in Winfield. Miriam's in Seneca. J.P.'s in Peoria. Bill is in Hobart. David is in Mount Prospect. Sherry and Bob are tuned in. Our buddy Bobby Danos out in Sammich, listening on his clock radio. Chuck Gorsuch is in Burlington, Iowa. Joan Smith tuned in from Holland, Michigan, and John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Brian Lefevre's in Bridgeport. Peter Jacobowitz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah. Christian Moberg is in Road America. And Lynn Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. Janet Geller is in Gainesville, Florida. Tom Murphy's in Palm Beach, Florida. And Larry Mann's in Miami.
Hmm.
So everybody's way south of us in Florida. But, yeah, thank you, guys. I'm sorry if I didn't get to. Todd is listening from Honolulu, a year-long listener via the stream. He says, go Cubs. You can stay, Todd. But you might want to sneak in a go White Sox every now and then.
Yeah.
But you're in Honolulu, so, you know, life is good, right? Whether the Cubs win or lose, life is good. You're in Honolulu.
Speaking of sports, Sammy.
Yes, Sammy.
We wanted to pick your brain a little bit.
Yes, Sammy represents the sports department tonight, right, Sammy?
That is correct.
All right. What's your feeling about the Knicks winning?
Happy for New York. I mean, what else can you not be? I mean,
how many years had it been?
I believe it's 47.
Yeah.
A long
time. Don't fact check me on that, but it's been a long time. Yeah. So very happy for the city of New York.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you surprised?
I mean, I'm not much of an NBA type of guy, but, I mean, everyone knows the New York Knicks.
Well, you know what? I have a feeling, too, because they are a celebrity magnet. It kind of helps, you know, people go, well, look at all those celebs sitting down there. And, well, you know what? Most of them buy their own ticket because Taylor Swift let it be known that she paid $1,000 for her ticket. And bought them for her gal pals, too.
But you got to say, too, even if you're not a Knicks or a basketball fan, that last second win in New York was extraordinary.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one of the bigger things is that we have a Chicago breed, which was the MVP of the NBA Finals, Jalen Brunson, out of Stevenson High School.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Let's bring it closer to home. I know you're a Cubs fan.
Love the Cubs.
You live in Wrigley.
I live in Wrigley.
You live and breathe blue, right?
Blue and red.
Notice I'm wearing red,
white, and blue.
This is my Cubby blue nails.
Look at that.
Actually, when I'm with White Sox, as I am a White Sox fan, I say this is my Lowe's blue. You know the Lowe's?
I think she's converting, Steve. We might have to check.
No. I got a discount at Lowe's because the manager was checking me out. And he goes, oh, wow, your nails look like our store colors. And I go, oh, yeah, this is Lowe's blue. And he gave me a 10% discount.
I'll take it.
I said, I'll wear Lowe's blue every day for 10% because I was buying tile at that time. So
sign me up.
All right, let me bring it closer to home. The Sox. Are you following them at all?
Unbelievable. I was just at the White Sox game Thursday when it was against the Braves.
Yeah.
I have such a stellar match. Chris Sale versus Davis Martin, two of the best pitchers in the game today.
And
they won. The young cat, Davis Martin, outpitched the veteran, Chris Sale.
He's extraordinary.
Yeah.
He is. I mean, lights.
I'm superstitious soul. I'm angry because when I flipped on the television Saturday afternoon, I was like, wait a minute, why are they wearing their Friday uniforms?
They shouldn't have been wearing the City Connect uniforms
that
on a Saturday.
Jinx them.
That's a Friday thing only.
That's
we know
right.
That.
Yep. See, that's what I said. I'm yelling, going, wait, why are you doing this? And at that point, it was like 3-0. And I said, oh, no, this is going to be bad. And it was bad.
The ninth inning, they had a no-hitter, no hits.
Yep.
And the guy from Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grichik.
No, not
Kershak. No. Phooey.
Oh,
I can see him.
Well, every time he gets up to bat, I go, I love that banana. So,
as you said, White Sox.
But he's good, though.
Tristan Peters.
Yes.
Broke up the no-no.
Well, isn't there an unwritten rule when you get that far into the game, you should not try to break up the no-no?
No. I'm breaking up that no-no.
Really?
No chance.
I'm right there with you.
Not in my field, not in my city. Take that to L.A.
Okay. Yep. See, I'm a wimp. I'd be going, yeah, come on, guys. He's got 8 innings. Let's let him get that no-hitter.
But I didn't check. With this loss, are the Sox still in first? Because they were a half game in first. What did Cleveland do? I haven't checked.
By the way, the Knicks last won in 73, which was 53 years ago.
Whoosh.
Yeah, I know.
They are a half game out of first place presently against the Cleveland Guardians.
Were you the guy that said it was okay that they actually lost?
Well, I was rationalizing after the loss.
Yeah.
And my thought was, A, they won one game already in this series. B, this kind of a loss teaches them they need to learn how to play these teams if they're going to continue on the path they're on.
Oh,
and I think they are.
When they go on the road, too, because then that's going to be even more challenging. But I understand, Sammy, that there were kind of a large group of fans in the sold-out crowd that were chanting, "We want Shohei. We want Shohei."
Yeah, he got taken out. He didn't even get to play. He has something knee inflammation, I believe.
Yeah.
But hey, the Sox had 23-12 at guaranteed rate.
And they didn't get to this kind of a record till September of last year?
No, they had not won 37 games until September of last year.
I mean, unbelievable turnaround. Yeah. And guess what? They're knocking on the first overall pick in this year's draft, too. So
he
only goes shoots up from here.
Yeah.
Good for our fellow White Sox fans.
Well, you know what's
and
nice?
I would like to see Will Venable get Manager of the Year.
I would not be surprised.
He has made the difference in this team.
I mean, who would have thought that the White Sox would be a half game from first place?
In June.
In June.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
It is. It's cool. It really is. It's fun. And it's fun to kind of look at the record because I find myself going to the sports pages in the paper, which kind of blows my mind. But I'm like, oh, wait. We're 2 games ahead of the Cubs. Oh, no. Now we're just a game. Oh, we're back and forth. So
I just want to make a bold prediction while I have this floor right here.
Go ahead.
This is going to switch a little subject, but the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. They will stay in Chicago.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a bluff.
We're in the minority.
Yeah. Nothing has been signed.
Yep.
We have friends. I have a girlfriend that is such a diehard fan, and she is despondent. I go, get over it. Nobody has signed a piece of paper
yet.
This
is all publicity.
Yeah.
Exactly. They will be. I believe it will happen in Arlington Heights, and I still believe that.
But they're not going to leave Illinois. Oops.
They will not leave Illinois.
Duck, here comes Big Plug Bob on the Zamboni. He's trying to clean up the studio. We should say, we're not going to do a last caller tonight, only because we're so far behind. We got a few other things to try to get to. But we do need to clean up. Okay, we're going to get out of the way, all right? I'm sorry. Okay, we'll take a break, and we'll be back. Stay with us at WGN.
You know, we should just leave from here and go right to the airport. Since we're leaving in a couple of hours. Suddenly it hit me. I was like, what? I gotta sleep fast. Because
we've got an early flight.
Yes.
And speaking of that, let me mention a couple things. One, next week, full show starting at 9 p.m. Two, next week we will not be in Chicago. We will be coming to you from the studios of WKGC-FM. It's one of the stations that we consult. Down in Florida, and they are part of the Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida. And next week, one of the things we'll be doing, along with all kinds of tech stuff with Dr. Patrick Crispin, but our friends Jack and Jen, Eli Ingram, and Sandy Marlesa, if you've been following us for a long time, you've heard them before. They're terrific performers. They have a brand new album that they are going to unveil on our show.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also going to be unveiling a new website. I mean, they're hardworking, really talented people. And so we will have a performance by Jack and Jen coming up next
and
week.
And the following week, we're going to be spending some time with Bill Anderson, country music legend Bill Anderson. We're going to talk with him about the fact that in July, he's going to be recognized at the Grand Ole Opry as 65 years with the Opry.
I think that's the longest anybody has been with the Opry. And also, a bit of a sad note, but we'll talk with Bill about the loss of Bill Cody.
Yeah.
Just a terrific, a legend in his own right on WSM Radio in Nashville. And sadly, we lost Bill over the past week.
Okay, before we run out of time, and again, we're not doing a last caller because I feel like we hit the ground running and it's just been go, go, go all night tonight. I want to say thank you, Lieutenant Daniel Hammett, for tuning in from Williams Bay, Wisconsin. He's checking in a little late because he said things got kind of crazy tonight. And he said, finally had a chance to check in and tell you I'm out here. We're well protected.
Good.
Thanks to Williams Bay, Wisconsin, and Lieutenant Hammett. George of George and Bonnie, regular listeners, he asks every week, what's for dinner tonight when we get home? Nothing exciting. We're talking, because I had to clean out the refrigerator. Because we're going to be gone for 2 weeks.
And we're going to have a quick snack and try to sleep fast because we've got an early morning flight. We've got one of the last, and I don't understand why they do this. It's one of the last direct flights from Midway to Panama City Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
And we'll be coming home on, again, one of the last direct flights.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they cut it off this time of year. It's still prime.
You would think, you know, if they said we're going to do this in December, maybe. It's very strange. But answering George's question, it's a grilled cheese kind of night.
Yeah.
Because, I've always got cheese in the house, but everything else is either frozen or I've given it to the neighbors because we're not going to be home for 2 weeks. So.
Speaking of cheese in the house,
what?
You wonder where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Earlier tonight, when we were talking with Todd Wilbur, and he mentioned one of the hardest things for him to replicate is pizza because of the different. And it made me think of, it was just a couple weeks ago, we had a pizza we thought was going to be good, but it was the crust was made out of something not of this world.
Sadly, it was an excuse for gluten-free pizza.
Yeah, and a bad excuse.
And I always feel, I don't feel so bad for us as adults because we have choices, but I always feel like kids. Okay, I want to be normal like everybody else. And you give them this piece of ick, and they're like, really? This is pizza? This is not what my friends are eating. And it's not inexpensive. I mean, a little 9-inch pizza for $14, frozen. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm going someplace and buying it. And it was tasteless, and I don't want to do that again.
By the way, one
of
the
waste of calories.
One of the other things on my list before we stop talking, we mentioned earlier that we had been following the sad news with the tornadoes and the weather, and watching Channel 9's wonderful coverage. Objectively, yes, Channel 9 had an extraordinary staff, and it was incredible coverage. But objectively, we were tuning around to see different stations. All of the meteorologists in the Chicago area deserve a huge round of applause. These people step up. They give you the information that you need when you need it. So regardless of what the station is, there's something about meteorologists. They are a wonderfully strange breed.
And they know it.
And we've talked with Tom Skilling, Tracy Butler. Mm-hmm. They all, from a very young age, they were drawn toward, what is that cloud doing? Why is this happening?
I think most of them were scarred by The Wizard of Oz.
Could be.
I'm serious. really, because I know of at least two meteorologists that said as children they saw The Wizard of Oz, and they were so terrified by it after that. As they got older, they realized, you know what, I'm going to conquer that, and I'm just going to find out what makes that happen. And next thing you know, they're sucked into the whole world of meteorology.
Yeah.
And with the technology today, it's pretty amazing when they can say, you know, at 11:39, take cover because it's coming your way at, 12:10. I'm like, wow.
And they're doing that, and yes, I know I'm being a little political with this, I don't care. They're doing that with information sources that have been cut in half by the current administration. Shame on them for doing that. And they're doing a wonderful job of giving us the information we need.
Yep, absolutely. So stay safe. The storms, nothing like what we had in the last few nights, but you probably won't have to water your flowers. One of the things I'm thinking about, too, but we have two wonderful little girls that live across the street from us, and they've taken on the challenge of taking care of my garden. And one of them, who's only 8 years old, has really taken this job seriously. Down to, she's got a spray bottle on her belt, and she's ready to water those plants. Yeah. And I, God bless her for doing it. I won't worry while I'm gone.
We are running out of words. Thank you to Big Plug Bob, to Ron, to Sammy, to Jonathan. Thank you. This was your first night kind of flying solo.
Yeah. And to Julian for stopping by.
Of course.
And doing our videos for Terry and Rob, who were in here earlier performing for us.
We better scoot out of here and see if we can get between the raindrops. So we'll talk to you next week from Florida.